जय शिपाल ब्रह्म परिव्राजाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान अभिकरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हर शील प्रभुपाद की जय मित्रिला प्रवृष्ठ शिपाल ब्रह्मस परिव्राजाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदगोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौ गोविंद श्याम राधा गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुन माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की और प्रेमानंदी और ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड बॉडीज और ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड बॉडीज और ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड बॉडीज और ग्लोरियस ऑफ ग्लोरियस श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग और ग्लोरियस श्री शील प्रभुपाद महामोषपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय गुरुदेव श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती गौरवाणी प्रयारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनम मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगहिरांगम मां उद्धरभवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि श्रीगुरोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तदा पुरुषदेवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो संकीर्तनम यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनम प्रणामो दुःखशमनम तं नमामि हरिं परम जन्माद्यस्य हेदोन्वयादिदरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित कैलवोत्र परमो नर्मत्सराणम् सदा वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनि कृते किम्बाबरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेत्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुभमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबत भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भूमिभावुकाः आनन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नमः यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुवेदमवेदकृत्यम् द्वैबाह्यनो विरहदादरमाजुहावाम् पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिमानदोऽस्मि स्यानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मजीवमतिदीर्षदाम् तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयम् वीरये मुनीय किशोर मुग्ध मूर्ते कलवेणूपणिदादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भताम्बुरारे मधुरीम् नक्कनिकाभिकाभिकापि नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वति देवं गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीमन् गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा व्यासं हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्द परमाणवे नमः वरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगीसरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वदालयशमनिशम् हृदि भावयामि कोमलम् कूजयन् वेणुम् श्यामलोऽयम् कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरम् ब्रह्म वासदाम् पुरतो मम മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്തദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത വത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേ ത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ ഭൂപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദോഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം വൈ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ശുഭദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ ശല്യവജസ്സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാസംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹവ്യവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമലപ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്മന്മന്ദി ദിവ്യൈ സവേ വേദൈ സാംഗപദേ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദേ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. So, Krishna says to Uddhava, Purvam Grihidam Gunakarma Chitram Ajnana Malpanya Vivittamanga Nivartadetat Punarikshayaiva Na Grihyade Nabi Visrajya Malpma. In the earlier, Krishna mentioned there that due to the influence of the due to material existence, whatever happiness and distress happens, it does not have any impact on the self, on the self. And that point Krishna is again stressing this once again, that only if the bandham and moksham, that means bondage and the liberation, if bondage and liberation is there for the soul, only then the soul will get affected by the happiness and distress. But because there is no bondage and liberation for the soul, it doesn't get affected by happiness and distress. So that is the siddhantam, that is Krishna's point, that even before one wakes up into the reality, one comes to the platform of the soul or realization of the soul, due to the influence of the gunam, three modes of material nature, and due to the influence of the karmam, the vasanas inside, due to their variations, Krishna says that he had this understanding that somebody is powerful, somebody is weak, somebody is knowledgeable, jnani, or somebody is ajnani. Somebody is realized, somebody is not realized. Due to the illusion, these feelings were there in his mind. But due to the association from the shastram and with the realized souls, when that illusion has gone away from a person, What will happen? Not only that, he has come back and established himself in his own identity as the spirit soul. No, apart from that, he also realized that Atma was never affected by anything else. Atma was never affected by anything else. He realizes that as well. Two things. That one thing, first he realizes that when he gets established in the self completely, he realized that the everything was due to the gunakarma bhedam. That means due to the influence of the modes of nature and due to the variations in the karma vasana. So, therefore, bandham and moksham is never touches atma, which Krishna confirms in the previous chapters. Bandho mukta iti vyakya gunado me namastuda gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. He mentions earlier in the 12th or 13th chapter. Think it was the first verse in the like when Krishna when Uddhava asked that question, Krishna says to him, yeah, it is the 11th verse, 11th chapter, first verse. 11th chapter, first verse. He says that Bandho Mukta Idi Vyakya Gunadomena Vastuda Gunasya Maya Mulatval Name Mokshona Bandhanam. That statement Krishna is confirming that again here in this. Purvam Grihidam Gunakarma Chitram Ajnanam Alpanya Vivikta Mangam Nivartade Nat Punariksha Eva Na Grihyade Nabi Visrajyam Alpma. That means Bandham Moksham, that cannot happen to Alpma, because happiness and distress is also not having any influence on the Atma, so there is no for bondage and liberation for the Atma. Then in the next verse, Krishna is saying, Yathahi bhano rudayo nrachakshusham tamohi hanyanadu sadvidathe evam samiksha nipuna sati me hanyat tamisram purushasya buddhe. Yathahi bhano rudayo nrachakshusham. The Atma, with its nature, all times it remains the same. And what Krishna is saying there is that under no circumstances there is any change in the Atma situation. For example, we are practicing spiritual life, and due to spiritual life we have reached the state of self-realization, and that is no meaning. Due to spiritual life, we have reached the state of self-realization, it has no meaning. Because all the time, we are Atma. We have never become the body. We have never become the mind. We have never become anything else. Always we have been Atma. All what we have happened here was that ignorance in us has gone. That's all it is. Atma has never changed its situation. It's always remaining the same. So, the ignorance that was there, that's gone away. So naturally, in its original form, the Atma has manifested. So, due to the instructions from the spiritual master, and also from the knowledge of the Shastram, that moham, or illusion, which was covering our, or what they call as the delusion, or the intelligence, that has gone. And therefore, that when the ignorance is gone from inside, that we realize that Atma is there, and that is what we are. It's only an illusion in our mind at the moment that we are something different than the self. We are different than the self. Therefore, when that ignorance is in depth, in very deepened, it becomes in the form of body or the mind and things like that. So, before this realization happened, also it was like that, but we didn't know about it. That's all. We didn't know about it. And that is what this example Krishna is mentioning here. Yathahi bhano rudayo nrachakshusham tamo nihanya nadu sadvidatte. That means, when the sun sets, our capacity to see the objects due to the darkness, when the sun sets, our capacity to see the objects goes away due to darkness, and we are not able to discriminate between one object and the other because the darkness has come. And like we didn't know that there was a well in the front, tamo nihanyanada sadhidatte, that all a capacity to realize that there was, the clarity goes away, the vision goes away. And because of that, sometimes trip and fall somewhere. We trip and fall somewhere. And also, we cannot see things in its proper way. Just like they give the same example again, that like you misunderstand that the rope for a snake in darkness. And then when the sun rises, that ignorance goes away and we can see things properly, and the distress that was there before also goes away. So whatever that was covering our grahana shakti, grahana shakti means our capacity or our visual capacity or capacity to see things, that was covered by the darkness, and all what has happened was when the sun rises, the darkness goes away and we see things properly. We see things properly. So the only thing is, the sunrise has helped us to remove the darkness and to see the things. Similarly, Atma also is always there and it is always full of knowledge, bliss and eternal. But that awareness has not happened to us due to the presence of the Ajnanam inside or Avidya inside. When with the help of the spiritual master and also with the help of the Shastram, when that ignorance goes away, then you immediately realize that Atma inside has always been perfect. Nothing has happened to the Atma. All what has happened is the ignorance has left. Ignorance has left. That's all what it has happened. Eshaswayam jyotirajo aprameyo mahanubhuti sakalanubhutim ekodvidiyo vajasam virame yeneshida vagasavas charandim. Eshaswayam jyotirajo aprameyo mahanubhuti sakalanubhutim ego advidiyo vajasam virame yeneshida vagasavas charandim. The symptom of self-realization is, he's saying here, that the parichinatum means that we felt we are limited to the body. Is it not? At the moment, that's our understanding, that we are limited to this body. That is called parichinam. Just like we say that this body with the hands and the legs, everything, and the jiva is thinking that I am limited to the legs and the hands and this body as it is. When when self-realization happens, that limitation due to the body on the living entity goes away. Just like due to the presence of the sun, all objects comes out and we have a clear vision of the form of each object. Exactly the same way, it is the same Atma that is present in the sun is helping us to visualize things. Atma in the sun and Atma that is inside us has the same effect. For example, Atma, when it comes through, just like when we see the sun, when we see the moon, what you have to see there is not sun and the moon as a separate entity. It is the presence of Atma in the sun and Atma in the moon. It is due to the presence of the Atma in the sun and Atma in the moon that they are also coming to life. Just like we are coming to life due to the Antaryami inside us, isn't it? When the Antaryami is present in us, we are also alive. We are also living. Similarly, sun and the moon is also living due to the presence of Atma there. Only when Atma is present there, they have life. Otherwise, they don't have life either. That is the important point. That because gross body, the subtle body and the causal body, these three bodies in us, stulam, sushmam, karanam, three bodies, they have no contact with the Atma. Atma has no contact with them, any of them. So therefore, birth, death and all these things does not exist in Atma. It does not exist in Atma. So, but in practice we can see that only when self-realization happens, Only then you can know who we are. Only then you can know who we are. That means what is our true identity. Therefore, we can say here that Alma is not subject to any of the pramanam. Any of the pramanam. What that means is, pramana means authority. No authority can tell us about Alma. No authority can tell us about Alma. Because in Shastram what they say, Prameyam. Prameya means any object which is subject to pramana. Pramana means authority. Like Vedam. Vedam is authority. So anything that is subject to the Vedam, authority of the Vedam, is called Prameyam. Pramanam and Prameyam. But Alma is not Prameyam. Alma is never Prameyam. because only through Pramanam you cannot know Alma. You have to realize the self and then know Alma. That's the way it is to be known. So, Alma and its opulences, it is no limitations on that. There is no limitations on that. So, that whole creation and all of us is, as we are now, is due to the presence of that Aishwarya Siddhi, of the Alma. Alma's mystical opulence, that's what is causing this. Therefore, that is what Krishna is saying, Esha Swayam Jyoti Rajo Aprameyo Mahanubhuti Sakalanubhuti. Mahanubhuti. That Mahanubhuti Sakalanubhuti. That all the anubhutis in the Alma is unlimited. That you cannot limit to anything. Alma's potency, in other words. Present in the sun and the moon, it manifests in one way. Present in all of us, it manifests in another way. And present in all other opulences here, like the big huge mountains, huge rivers, huge oceans, and huge forests, and several living entities, various living entities. In all of them, their Alma's mystical power is manifesting there. Mahanubhuti, Sakalanubhuti. Everywhere it is Alma's opulence that we are observing, what we are seeing there. So, and not only due to the presence of Alma all these things are going on, Krishna is saying here that the witness of everything what goes on in this whole gigantic manifestation is also Alma. The witness of everything is Alma. Because, and in order that creation to happen, Alma has to be there. Without Alma, all this creation also cannot happen. So therefore, because creation is happening due to Alma, Alma, they say, is one. And there is one without a second. One without a second. That means there is no second thing existing. Only Alma is existing. So, such an object, he says, Ekam adyudiyam vajasam virame yeneshida vagasavas charandi. Such an object cannot be explained even through the Shastram. Because all the senses, vajasam virame yeneshida vagasavas charandi, all senses of knowledge, senses of action, all of them are functioning due to the presence of Alma. This is the potency of Alma, potency of the soul. And Alma cannot be known by the senses, cannot be known by the senses. That is the reason why it was said that Alma can never be known through the senses. Upanishad will say, Yedo vacha nivartande aprapya manasa saha. Upanishad is saying, Yedo vacha nivartande aprapya manasa saha. Words cannot explain Alma. And mind cannot reach Alma. No senses or the mind can explain about Alma. Keneshidam patati preshidam mana kena prana pratama praidi yukta keneshidam vajam imam madandi chakshushrotram ka udevo yunakti. All Upanishad statements. Shrotrasya shrotram yen manaso manoyat vajoha vajam pranasya prana mudha chakshushas chakshu. Chakshushas chakshu. That means it is the eye of all the eyes. Or, Granasya Granam, it is the nose of all the noses. Pranasya Pranam, is the prana of all the pranas. And all these words in the Shruti, in the Upanishads, is indicating that. Is indicating that. That, and many times this has been spoken in several places in the Bhagavatam in different ways, in different times, in different times. So, yato vachani vartande aprapi manasa saha. Just to show to us, ekam adyudiyam vachasam virama yeneshida vagasavas charandi. That you can see the same question Parikshit asked to Shivabrahmarshi in the Shruti Gita chapter, the first 87th chapter in the 10th canto. He asked this question that how come that senses and the mind cannot reach Atma, to explain about Atma. He says there, isn't it? If you look into the 10th chapter, you'll see that. So, that's 87 in the Shruti Gita, begins with that. That Atma cannot be explained by, Atma cannot be present, Atma cannot be explained by senses or the mind. Because it is Nirguna. Nirguna. Nirguna means beyond the three modes of material nature. Therefore, it cannot be explained by the mind and the words. And how, his question was, how is that Vedam, which is Shabdam, sound, has got the capacity to explain the truth? That's how the question is, isn't it? Normally, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, none of them can explain the nature of the truth, absolute truth, Brahman. Brahman cannot be explained by any of them. And how come Vedam, which is Shabda Brahman, is able to present the truth? And that question we have discussed before in that chapter. So here, Edavan Atma Sammoho Yad Vigalpastu Kevale Atman Rudesam Atmanam Avalambo Nayasehi. He says that when Atma is present in everyone, and which is one Atma, and in that Atma this Veda Bhavana has come, Veda Buddhi has come. And that is a Vigalpam. Vigalpam means that it is a movement that has happened inside the Atma, and that is due to the presence of the mind. Due to the oscillating nature of the mind, this Veda Buddhi has come and Vigalpam has come. And this can only remain, Edavan Atma Sammoham, Yad Vigalpastu Kevale, due to Vigalpam alone, this has happened. Atman Mradesum Atmanam Avalambo Nayasehi. That variations that's happening in the mind, which is affecting our observation of the oneness of the Atma, is affected because the reason he is saying here that just like you, when you see Atmanradesam Atmanam Avalambona Yasehi, because there is behind that Atma is present there, Avalambam. Avalambam means the support. Avalambam means the support. Atma is the support of everything. And because that support is there, we can experience the variations in the different objects. Just like these things that comes out from the sea, from the deep bed of the sea, sometimes it's mistaken for silver, isn't it? I don't know, from the pearls it comes out, that white shining thing. People misunderstand it as silver. In the similar way, So similarly, when you see the pearl, you misunderstand it as silver. When you see the pearls, you misunderstand it as silver. Similarly, this silvery nature was dependent on that pearl, which was present there. So, on the same principle, Krishna is saying here, because this vikalpam, when it happens, vinas, when this vikalpam means the mind, which comes out with different thought waves, that comes through the mind, that vikalpam cannot happen unless there was something behind it. That is the point Krishna is saying there. Atman anudesam atmanam avalambo na yasyahi. Krishna is saying that if there was no avalambam or there is no support behind, this vikalpam can never happen. Because there was support behind in the form of Atma, therefore it has happened. For example, this is the Atma-sammoham. See the word Krishna uses there? Atma-sammoham. Edavan Atma-sammoham yad vigalpastu kevale. Alpan anradesam almanam avalambam nayasehi. Atma-sammoham means
the misunderstanding that is happening in all of us. How that misunderstanding happens.
What is an Atma-sammoham? For example, thinking that I am this body. That's an Atma-sammoham.
Or I am a jiva.
Or I am a human being.
Or all this misunderstanding is called Atma-sammoham.
Atma-sammoham.
And due to that, various kinds of vyavaharam in this world.
Due to that misunderstanding. Different kinds of vyavaharam begins with that. Due to this misunderstanding.
And the result of that, we take birth again and we die. And then again birth, again die. So, and in the middle of all that, which is birth and death, we experience the results of our activities, karma phalam, between the birth and death. So this is called Atma-sammoham. This thing is called Atma-sammoham. Atma-sammoham means, due to misunderstanding that has happened inside us, which resulted in the form of identification with the body, mind and things like that. And due to that, I'm thinking that I'm this body, I'm a jiva, I'm a man, I'm a human being, and I interact with that understanding in this world in vyavaharam. And the result of all that is that I get repeated birth and death, and also many different kinds of experiences of the results of my activities, karma phalam. So, and this is called Atma-sammoham. What that means is, I have not understood what the reality is, what the truth is, isn't it? Actually, Krishna is saying, you are never born, you never die. And always I remain as purely as the Atma, pure as Atma on the spiritual platform. And such a person who never takes birth, who never die, and who is always in the platform of the soul, how can he have vyavaharam? Krishna is asking. How can he get experiencing vyavaharam in this world? So that cannot happen. But still we believe that, oh, the vyavaharam has to carry on and everything is true. That ignorance is being exposed there.
Yadavan Atma-sammoham yad vigalpas. All these various these verses are very, very subtle. Krishna is explaining that the changes that's happening in our realized state, which brought us into this conditioned state. That's what that is. In the realized, originally we were in the realized state. We are always in the realized state, even now. But how the conditioned existence is in relationship with the realized state. That's what Krishna is saying here. That is called Atma-sammoham. Atma-sammoham means from the realized state, how we have fallen into the conditioned state. In what state we are now in relationship with the realized state. In the realized state, there is no vyavaharam. But in the conditioned state, vyavaharam comes in. Why this vyavaharam has come in? Because of Atma-sammoham. That's the word Krishna uses. Why we got involved in the vyavaharam in the first instance? Because of Atma-sammoham. Edavan Atma-sammoham. Yad vigalpastu kevale. Vigalpam comes in from there. Atmanyadesam atmanam avalambo na yasehi. And even this vyavaharam is going on due to the vigalpam inside, due to the presence of Atma behind it. Atma is the supporting element behind that also, even for the vyavaharam. So, but what happens is, what's happening to us now is that due to this misunderstanding that has come, I am this body, I am this jiva, I am this mind and things like that, all this vyavaharam has also become as if it's real. It's real. Like we are thinking the body is real, the mind is real, the jivatvam or ahankaram is real, everything is real now, we are feeling now at the moment. And due to that, the vyavaharam we do with these things is also real. It's also real. And that is what Krishna calls it as Atma-sammoham. Edavan Atma-sammoham. And that was explained in the many verses in the last chapter also. Yad vigalpastu kevale. Yad vigalpastu kevale, as mentioned before.
that it is all yad vigalpastu kevale. Krishna is saying here, yad vigalpastu kevale. Vigalpastu kevale means it is a vigalpam in the kevalam. Kevala means the pure state of consciousness. Pure consciousness, there is some vigalpam has happened. Kevala means pure brahmam, sat, where pure nityam shuddham buddha mukta swarupam of brahmam. Vigalpam means some illusion has covered our way of thinking and we have started identifying with something else. That pratiti. Vigalpa means that there is something else existing outside Atma. Something else outside Atma exists. And vigalpa also means that you can also see there that experience something different than our original identity with the Atma. For example, in the rope, the vigalpa is the snake. There is no snake. Only rope was there. But when the vigalpam came, the rope became the... In the rope, snake has come. In the rope, snake has come. Similarly, in the post, which is standing there, painted white, when in the dark you are walking and you saw the post and you misunderstood that there is a ghost. Ghost and post. Post became a ghost and the snake became a rope. Snake became a rope. This is all vigalpam. This is all vigalpam. That is what Krishna is saying. Yad vigalpastu kevale. Similarly, in the Atma, due to vigalpam, we are feeling something different. And this is the nature of that Atma Samoham. That is the nature of Atma Samoham. So there are two small examples, which one's the rope and the snake and the rope and the snake and the post and the ghost. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, it is the same vigalpam that is making you think that you are not this, you are not Atma, but you are the body. Instead of Atma, you are seeing as the body. Instead of Atma, you are seeing it as the mind. Instead of Atma, you are seeing it as the intelligence and various ways, senses. All these things are vigalpam in Atma. Vigalpam in Atma. Atma is like the rope. And just like you are seeing the snake there, in the same way, all these things we are experiencing. And because these are vigalpams, which one? The mind, body, mind, intelligence and everything. In the same way, Krishna is saying, all the vyavaharam, transactions what we do in this world, is also vigalpam. Nothing but vigalpam. Everything is vigalpam. To prove, again, Krishna is trying to prove to us every moment that our life in this world is illusion. It's not real. It is Maya, to confirm that. But as soon as we leave the book, we come back and start thinking everything is real. This is the Maya. The Maya, Krishna is again taking us back to our actual state, what we are. So, Atmanrade, Atmanrade sam Atmanam, Avalambam Nayasehi. So, he says, Uddhava, remain in the platform of Atma, don't fall. That is his statement. They say here, Uddhava, you are Atma. Krishna says, Uddhava, swam Atmanam, remain as Atma, avalambam na yasyahi. He says, without Atma, how can all these things happen? See the logic? That without Atma, if Atma is not there, where is the body, where is the mind, where is intelligence, where is the ego, where is the senses? What meaning has all these things got? And where is the vyavaharam? So, Atma, Atvam Atmanam, Atma, Anrude Svam Atmanam, Avalambam, Svam Atma Ve Hruti. Without Atma, that yasya, that vigalpam, any vigalpam, what is, these are all vigalpam, which one, body, mind, intelligence, senses, and all the vyavaharam, everything is vigalpam. And those vigalpam also cannot exist without the presence of Atma. So, remain in the state of Atma, which is exactly what we are. Atman, Atman, anardesam, Atmanam avilambam, na yasehi. Atmanam avilambam, na yasehi. So, Atma alone is the avilambam, support for everything. And why? If you, once you deny Atma, Krishna is saying, once you deny Atma, you have to deny everything else. That is the argument, Krishna's argument. If you deny Atma, You have to deny everything else, because everything is existing because of the presence of Atma. Body, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, and even the vyavaharam, what we are doing in this world, is all the is the support or the backbone of all that is Atma. And if that Atma is not there, all these things won't be there. And therefore, only due to the presence of Atma, everything is happening. That's what that verse is saying. Edavan Atma sammoham yad vikalpastu kevale Atma anudesam Atmanam avalambo nayasyahi yannamakriti vargrahyam panchavarnam abhaditam vyartena pyarthavadoyam dvayam panditamaninam. Krishna is saying a few things here, that some people who are considered to be the learned, they have different arguments. Krishna says, yannamakritirgrahyam panchavarnam abhaditam vyartena pyarthavadoyam dvayam panditamaninam. Some people who are considered themselves to be learned, but they have not realized. They are scholars, but they have not realized. Those people, and they will say that they are saying, when you say Jagat is Mithya, Brahmam Satyam Jagat Mithya, when we say they like that, they say that does not mean that it does not exist. This is some kind of argument some people bring forward. They say, when we say the world is false, they are saying, no, it's not like that. World is not false. Actually, all those things what we see in the world, they are there. Namarupams are all present there. That is true also. But what they are saying is that it is not that they are false. Their point is, it's not that they are false. Only thing they are saying that they are not different from Brahman. Because they come from Brahman, they are not different from the Brahman. That's all what it means. You know this famous statement, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, in the Upanishad statement, that Krishna is reviewing that statement. Krishna is saying, some scholars are saying, this Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, when I say Jagat is Mithya, some people are saying that Jagat is Mithya means actually that they are there, the namarupams, names and forms and everything else, they are there and they are true also. Only difference is that they have come from Brahman. That's all what it means. And not that they don't exist. Krishna's point is they don't exist. But scholars are refuting that. Some scholars are refuting that. What they are saying is, Krishna is saying namarupams don't exist. That is pure Advaitam. Pure monism is, Advaitam is Namarupam doesn't exist. But there are certain people who do not agree with that, and they are saying that Namarupam does exist. Only thing is, these Namarupams have come from Brahma. That is their position. So therefore what they are saying is that Brahmam, which is Ekam Adudiyam. Ekam Eva Adudiyam Brahma Neha Nanasti Kinchana. There are Upanishad statements for all these things. Ekam Eva Adudiyam Brahma Neha Nanasti Kinchana. That's one. And Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya is another one. So in their commentary on that, what they are saying is that this is how you have to see those statements, Upanishad statements. That's their opinion. That's their opinion about that. Not that nothing exists, as Krishna is saying, that there's nothing has been created. Like Krishna's point is that what was there in the beginning and what was there in the end only exists in the middle also. On that principle, Krishna is saying that these things have not been created. Nothing, creation means something new has to happen. But new hasn't happened. What was there in the beginning and what is at the end is only there now in the middle also. So Krishna's argument was that on that basis, that only the what was there in the beginning at the end exists in the middle, and therefore nothing new has been created. But these people are saying, who are scholars, considered to be scholars, they are saying like this, that many things have been created, and all those things what's been created we are seeing now. This is the confusion about what's happening in the middle. They agree with what's at the beginning and what's at the end. In the middle, what is happening, they are saying like that. And as long as they are here, these different names and forms, they are saying that all these things are true. They are real, what is existing here. This is their argument. And such people, Krishna is saying here, those who are arguing in that way, they can, they are wandering around propagating this theory. That's all. But Krishna is saying, Namarupam is also not true. They are not true. because Krishna's argument now, what Krishna says about that. Yannama kudivirgrahyam panjavarnamabhaditam vyarthena arthavadoyam dvayam panditamaninam. Dvayam panditamaninam. Even some scholars, they are contradicting that. Krishna is saying here, if something is that has been created, if it is real, as they say, what they are saying is, this is a slight change in the Advaita principle. There is a variation in the Advaitam also. That they are saying that it is true when they are there, Namarupam is true. Then Krishna is asking, then why is that I don't see them in the deep sleep state, if they are real? That's Krishna's logic. If they are real, why are they not there in the deep sleep? And similarly in the dream state also. What I am seeing as Namarupam in the vacant state, why am I not seeing them in the same way in the dream state and the deep sleep? So Krishna is saying, how can you say that they are real? Because of that. See the Krishna's argument. Krishna's point is that some scholars who are saying that, because this is how the other arguments have come. That they some people say like that, this world is real, world is has some reality. Well, there's no reality, that is Krishna's point. Well has no reality, only Atma has reality, and it's pure Advaitam position. It is. Only Atma has reality. Brahmam has the Brahmam Satyam, Jagat is Mithya. So that argument is discussed in this verse. Yannamagridir, namam agridi, namam rupam. Agridi means rupam. Agridi means rupam, namarupam. Namagridi means namarupam. Panjavarnam abhaditam. Panjavarnam abhaditam. Panjavarnam means the five material elements. Varnam is the five panchabhutam. That's what it is, five material elements. So Krishna is saying there, how come that what I have seen in the dream state, I am not seeing them in the vacant state. I am not seeing them in the vacant state. So, even though these five senses of knowledge are present in me, why I am not experiencing these names and forms in the vacant state of what I saw in the dream state? The same senses, what you have used for seeing and experiencing things in this world in the vacant state, when you go to the dream state, you are not seeing them. You are not experiencing the same thing what you are experiencing now. Similarly, what you saw in the dream state, when you come back to the vacant state, even though you have got all the senses, you are not experiencing them. Therefore, Krishna is saying, they are not real. They are not real. So, you have to answer all that things. Krishna is saying there. Answer all these questions. That yannamagridivirgrahyam panjavarnam abhaditam vyarthena apya arthavadoyam dvayam panditamaninam. And they consider themselves to be learned and scholarly. Krishna questions them. So, arthavada sarubena, they are saying like this. Vyarthena apya arthavadoyam. Arthavada means to praise something. In other words, they are praising the names and forms. Names and forms, they are glorifying them. And suppose they believe that all this Namarupam is real. Suppose they believe like that. And how will they disappear? It cannot disappear because it's real. If it is real, it cannot disappear. Because if you say that they have existing, then you have to give the reason behind it. And that reason means, if the reason is there, you have to have the experience of that all the time. and that is not there. For example, in the realized state, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti goes away in the realized state. And these three states, you can see that what you are seeing in the dream state is disappearing in the vacant state. And everybody agrees that the dream state was false, mithya. Is it not? The dream state was false, everybody agrees with that. Then how come, Krishna is asking, that the vacant state has become the truth? True? If the dream state is false, how come the vacant state has become true? Because if it is true, you are agreeing that the dream state is false. But Krishna is saying, is the vacant state not false? You are saying the vacant state is truth. Then if it is truth, how come when you go into the dream state, this namarupam of the vacant state is not there? So how could you say, that is Krishna's point, how could you say that what is in the vacant state is true and the dream state is false? He is saying both are false. Vacant state is false, dream state is false. So, Jagrat, the experience of the vacant state, is not there in the dream state and it's not there in the deep sleep either. The vacant state what you are experiencing is all the world all the time. In the dream state, it's all coming from the mind, from the previous vasanas, what was there in the mind. So completely different. And therefore, in the dream state, all the vacant state experiences is not coming in. That is the point Krishna is making here. Then how can you say that this is true and the other one is false? Dream state is false and the vacant state is true. This is Krishna's question. That's not possible. It's because these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, and which is called Avastatrayam, has happened to Gunatrayam. Due to the modes of three modes of material nature, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, due to that, these three states have happened. Which one? Vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep. And therefore, all three of them are, all these three states are upadhi of avidya. These three modes are avidya. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam is avidya. And these three modes are creating these three states in us. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep. So therefore, these three states are the upadhi of the three modes. These three modes are coming through these three states to us. So this is happening due to the expansion of the three modes in us. When Sattugunam expands, it becomes vacant state. When Rajogunam expands, it becomes dream state. And when Tamogunam expands, it becomes deep sleep in all of us. So due to the expansion of the three modes of material nature and due to the contraction of the three modes of material nature, then this avidya continuously manifests and unmanifests in us. Avidya expands and contracts. When the three modes are expanding, avidya expands. When the three modes are contracting, avidya contracts. That's all it is. That's what Krishna's point here. Krishna is saying that Alma is the only reality, nothing else. Modes of nature are not reality. Three states are not reality. So therefore all this Namarupam, Vyavaharam and other manifested things like the body, mind, everything, none of them is reality. That is Krishna's position on this. And that is what he has spoken to Uddhava. And that is what Shiradhari Swamiji also mentions in his commentary on this. Although there is difference of opinion about that from the others. The others also. So therefore that avidya vritti, the three modes of material nature and its activities, that is called avastatrayam. Avastatrayam means these three states, vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. So once you realize the truth and that covering has gone from inside, which is called avastatrayam, that covering, when that moves away, the pure nature of the truth, adhuriyam, without one, without a second, that Atma Tattvam, the Prince Atma, manifests and it shines forth. It shines then. Atma shines forth. And when that is shining, when the Atma is shining like that, does he see Namarupam then? No. He doesn't see Namarupam anymore. Therefore, where is the truth? Satyatvam. Where is the truth in there? Satyam. It is not. Therefore, this argument Krishna is saying, Namarupam is not true. Namarupam is not true. It is only due to, not the truth. It's only an illusion. That is the argument Krishna has put forward in that verse.
Yannama kadivargrahyam panchavarnamabhadidam vyarthena arthavadoyam
dvayam panditamaninam. And once, therefore, only Krishna says that due to illusion, brahmam, this, that namarupam, you feel that they are real. You feel they are real. Only it's a feeling inside us. Because what it is that when you are in one plane means, say, vacant state. Suppose you are in the vacant state, you get one kind of thoughts inside, isn't it? Vacant state experience is like that. You think certain things are true in the vacant state. Once you leave this vacant state and you go into the dream state, these kind of reality goes away. What you are feeling true in the vacant state goes away. And something else becomes real then, in the dream state. And at that time, the thoughts that they create is different in the dream state, is it not? When you come out of the vacant state of the dream state, the reality, what you experienced in the vacant state, gone. And something else becomes reality in the dream state, completely different from what you thought in the vacant state. So, there is no reality either in this or in that. That is the point Krishna is making. Because this is a big problem in everybody, isn't it? Everybody says, in the real world, he says. And when you say that, what is that real world? Is this world real? Vacant state real? Because we have taken for granted. It's a big hurdle to cross over in the beginning. Because always we kept vacant state higher than the dream state and the deep sleep. In our heart of hearts, we have convinced ourselves that vacant state is a higher position than dream and deep sleep. We say deep sleep is all sleep, though we don't know anything. Ignorance, leave it behind. Dream state is a dream, it's gone, it has no value. When you wake up, it has no value. But everything is real in the vacant state. This is our argument. Is it not? We say everything is real in the vacant state. Krishna is saying that don't compare in that way. That's not the way to compare, he says. The way we are comparing is wrong. That is where the mistake is. Krishna's point is, what you are experiencing in the deep sleep is as true as what you are experiencing in the vacant state, or as true as what you are experiencing in the dream state. If they are not real, vacant state, dream state is not real, deep sleep is not real, why you say vacant state is real? Where did you get this idea from? That's what Krishna is asking. That everything in the vacant state is real. You keep saying that. What is your support? What's the logic behind it? Because if they are real, when you go into the dream state, they are not there. Or when you go to deep sleep, they are not real. Similarly, when you come back from, you are rejecting dream state on the argument that when I wake up, they are not there, so therefore they are not real. Krishna is asking, in a similar way, when you go from vacant state to dream state, the objects or the namarupam of the vacant state is not there, so how can they be real then? This is the logic. These three states, Krishna has spoken so many times, under all circumstances, are, and not only that, these three modes of nature is the cause behind this. And as long as three modes of nature are there, these three states will be there, so none of them is real. And according to their expansion and contraction, avidya expands and decreases, expands and contracts. Avidya is three gunam, isn't it? Sattvam, rajas, tamas. Sattvagunam expands vacant state, rajogunam expands dream state, and tamogunam expands deep sleep. Tamogunam contracts, we come out of deep sleep. Rajogunam contracts, we come out of dream state. And then sattvagunam contracts, we remain in the vacant state, but it changes, alternates from one to another. Sattvam, rajas, tamas. So, under the modes of nature, any state what you are experiencing is all not real. None of them is real. None of them has any reality. That is the point Krishna has mentioned there in that 37th verse. All these verses are, if you really interested and study them, it will give you strength in spiritual life. To take spiritual life very seriously. It is all meaning, it's all very logically put forward.
Yogino abhakva yogasya yunjadakaya muthidaihi ubasargai vihanyeda tatrayam vihido vithi. Tatrayam vihido vithi. Yogino abhakva yogasya yunjadakaya muthidaihi ubasargai vihanyeda tatrayam vihido vithi.
Another issue. Krishna spoke earlier about what is called Antarayam. Now he is talking about Upasargam. A jnani, when you are progressing in the spiritual path, the obstacles that comes in. Antarayam is the one, remember, what will come to you in the form of Prarabdham, in the form of demigods, in the form of physical issue problems. All these are Antarayam. And Krishna mentioned certain things in the previous verses, if you remember, when we spoke about that, few verses before. So here, another topic Krishna is bringing, what is called Upasargam. It's called Upasargam. All what he has to say, Krishna has already spoken. Now he is concluding everything. He says,
He says here,
Yogino apakva yogasya. Apakva yogasya. Apakva yogasya means a yogi who is not completely matured in his yoga system. He's not matured. That means that the mind has not properly settled down. Mind is still wavering sometimes. And also the discriminative power has gone away. It's not strong enough. Because sometimes you can see this happening in our own life, isn't it? When we hear things, when Krishna is saying something, we will say, yes, we agree with everything what Krishna is saying. But as soon as you go out, the mind wavers. Mind loses its conviction. And then something else comes in. So such a person, even if he has become conscious of the presence of Atma, by studying Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita, you have become conscious of the presence of Atma. But when circumstances changes, the mind, nature of the mind also changes. This is a major problem with everybody, isn't it? When circumstances changes, circumstances when they change, the nature of the mind changes. So, whichever from one circumstances, for example, in Salsangam, when you're hearing all this from Krishna, you're feeling very good because Krishna is presenting to you something which nobody has told us before. So when you hear that, you feel happy about it, that the truth is something as what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam, and you feel a relief from our ignorant life in this world. Isn't it? We know that the life is ignorant. Nothing but ignorance outside. There's nothing else except ignorance there. From that ignorance there is some light. Krishna is shedding some light to us. And when you hear that words, Krishna's Ekadasha Skandam, you feel some happiness inside, that there is some hope in life. Everything is not darkness. Is it not? It's a great hope what Krishna is offering to us. That to tell us that I am not this body itself is a big hope for us. Otherwise, what hope is there? There is no hope. This body and suffer with the body and go from here. But that is the thing Krishna is offering. He said that is ajnanam avidya, he said. So, after saying this, we are feeling good, but somehow or the other, after this discussions, and you go away, circumstances changes, you got involved in your harem somewhere else and something else is going on, immediately you will see the mind is also changed at that time. So that paramarthika sthiti means the absolute nature of the mind could not hold on to that for long. What you experience now, when you go out, you are not able to hold on to that. Isn't it? It goes away. You lose it straight away. So it should not happen, Krishna is saying here. It should not happen. And when that happens, that is called Upasargam. That's called Upasargam. Antarayam means the obstacles that's been put forward blocking your spiritual progress, which comes in the form of family, society, family members, sons, father, parents, mother, grandfather, grandmother, all kinds of people in the world who comes in front of you and saying to you, look, I need your attention on me now. You need to devote your time for me. Not allowing you to go further in spiritual life. And similarly, various kinds of prarabdha comes. Family members will say, why go to Bhagavatam class? Why waste time? We have got so much other things to do. Like this, so many things people will say to you. And they are all andarayam. It's called andarayam. Andarayam means that, and then the demigods can give you trouble in the sense that your different senses, they can become affected by different devatas. No demigods like us passing through them to the spiritual world. They won't let you out easily. They put the block there. They are living there in the heavenly planets. And when you are going to the spiritual world, you have to pass through their gate, in front of their gate. And they are sitting inside and seeing, he's walking ahead of me. Because they know that we are going ahead of them. When they see that, they are not very happy about that. Also, therefore, devadas will cause problems in some way or the other. But upasarga, that is andarayam. Upasarga means that what you are realizing now, in similarly in salsangam, you are losing due to the change of circumstances. Sahajiryam. So, that upasargam also is another block for the yogi, for who is progressing. So, one point Krishna is saying there, one should try not the upasargam. This is all depends on one vyavasaya almiya buddhi, how strong one is inside. It's only dependent on that to a large extent. If the vyavasaya almiya buddhi is there, then upasargam will be weak. It will not have the strong effect. So Krishna is saying here, as much as possible, that one should try not to allow these upasargams to come on the way. So while experiencing these yoga practices, he says, yoga means that not only yoga sadhana, not only the yoga sadhana. Krishna is saying adhyalpam, adhyalpa yogam. Adhyalpa yoga means that that those who are, there are so many things here, there are various sadhana anishtanam, what we are doing. For example, some people take to the chanting very seriously. That is their sadhana anishtanam. It's their strength. On that, they run their spiritual life, on the chanting process. Somebody else takes strength from the Bhagavatam and still live with that, on the strength of the Bhagavatam. Something that gives you strength, you take it and then hold on to that, not to lose it. So, so whatever process you are following, and somebody else in deity worship, for example, strong in the deity worship, and deity worship is giving you the strength. So whatever it may be, if you are doing those sadhanas rigidly, in due course of time, some experience will come from that, in a period of time, over a period of time. So you are doing chanting the holy name seriously for 30, 40 years, you would have acquired some strength from that chanting process. Or if you are studying Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, and Srimad Bhagavatam would have given you some strength, or Bhagavad Gita for that matter. Either Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, doesn't matter. Either of them would have given you some strength because you are doing it day after day after day. Isn't it? Or if you are engaged in deity worship also, if you are doing it with sincerity and commitment and devotion, it will have some effect in a person. So, such a person, so long as it is not become strong enough, if that strength that is coming from the holy name, or from the Bhagavatam, or from the deity worship, till it has become strong enough inside, the chances are that the mind will waver. The mind will waver. So, and suppose the mind has become knowledgeable, mind has become more steady, and due to the practice of sadhana, anushtanam, everything, even then, suppose you are put into a group of people who are completely ignorant. Sometimes that happens, isn't it? You have to mix with people who have no knowledge of spiritual life. and who don't believe in anything, who believe only in the body, only in the life in this world. Suppose by circumstances you are thrown into the middle of them, then you will have to listen to them, what they say, and then you will have to answer them for what they ask you, and then you will have to get involved with them, and you will have to enjoy their jokes and their way of thinking and things like that. In that situation also, Krishna says, it's an upasarga. You can lose your strength. At that point you can lose your strength, and that is called upasarga. So you see how upasargam happens. Upasargam happens in various ways. Yogino apakva yogasya yunjata kaya muthidehi upasargai vihanyeda tatrayam vihidovidhi. That after an scrutinizing jnana yogam, Krishna is saying the obstacles that can come in that path. That even if you have started practicing yoga process, and before you became perfect in that, and due to that, and yunjala kaya muthide, suppose the body has fallen, before you became perfect in that, the body has fallen away. Then Krishna is talking various things in the next few verses, what one could do in that situation. So suppose you are thrown into the middle of somebody, some people who are not of our liking or not our nature, who have different mentality or way of thinking, and who believe in enjoying the world or enjoying life. And suppose you are, by circumstances, you are put into the middle of them. But if you are constantly associating with them, what will happen is you will lose your capacity to discriminate, and you will lose your spiritual strength. You will lose that. And then you have to start from the beginning again, which is very difficult to come back to it again. Therefore Krishna is saying, due to upasargam, that it is possible that you will lose your spiritual realization. Therefore, Krishna is going to give some ways how yogis protect themselves in these situations. First thing Krishna is saying, that Shastram says, in a particular way you should live in this world. First thing, Krishna is talking about that.
Yoga dharanaya kaschil dasaner dharananyudai tapam mandra aushade kamschil upasargan
mirdahed. That's the first, first proposal, Krishna's proposal.
Yoga dharanaya kamschil kamschil dasaner dharananyudai tapam mandram aushadam kamschil upasargan mirdahed. Certain upasargam due to dharana you have to remove through dharana. For example, influences from the body, that's upasargam. Like due to shitam, cold, and things like that, that has to be removed through the sunshine.
Not getting the heat for the body alone, but the effect in us due to the excess influence of the cold weather in us, that has to be removed through the heat, from the sunshine. And that is not going and sitting in the sun. Surya dharana. Dharana it is. Dharana means the process. Dharana means inside my proper meditation on that process, coming out of the effect of the cold weather inside. This is for the yogis Krishna is talking about, for the yogis. Similarly, if the effect is due to heat, by invoking moon inside and making it cooler inside, Chandra Dharana. Similarly, other diseases to be overcome by yoga asanas, asana processes. And it is influenced due to the planets, if it's happening something, then austerities in life. Similarly, mantra japam, chanting the holy name, and sometimes due to certain medicines. So, what yogis do, to escape from this upasargam, all the time, throughout their spiritual life, they will engage in some process like this. And that is referred to as tapam, mantram, aushadham. Three things. So, one thing, for example, no matter what others say about you, you don't have to answer them. Don't answer them. Leave them to themselves. And even you don't give attention to it when somebody says something. Suppose you are thrown into the middle of somebody who does not agree with you, and everyone is not in agreement with your way of life and your understanding of life. And if they are all criticizing, the one way of dealing with that is not to give attention to it, and you don't have to answer them. And instead of trying to answer them, again remaining steady in your spiritual life, in your convictions. And to make sure that you don't lose your steadiness in the path. While sitting, while walking, in all these situations, always able to remain in a nishtha, in that steadiness. Able to remain in that nishtha. That means, say, some people, it's a technique they use. Wherever they go, they will sit in a particular way. Because if they sit in that particular way, they get strength from that. They feel they are established in the truth. Not completely, in the sense that by sitting in a particular way, they feel strength inside. So even if you have to sit among the other people whom don't agree with you in everything, if you stick to that, then you will feel some strength inside. In a particular way of sitting. And similarly, that is one technique. Others, they engage in different asanam, yogasanam. They do all those things. And they are very particular. Wherever we go, I will only sit in that way, in a particular form. So, a rule they follow very rigidly. And that mind, and at that time, he likes the way he sits. He likes it very much, the way he sits. And he likes to sit like that wherever he goes. If you make that a habit, that will give you some power inside to free yourself from this upasargam. So, and they feel that if they sit like that, their mind is more in tune with the yoga process. All this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam will become more manifested within them. So therefore, wherever they go, they will sit in that particular way. That makes them, reminds them of the Krishna's words and Krishna's instructions, and they will feel comfortable with that. Just by sitting in a particular way. And that you will notice with some people, they do this. They always sit in a particular way, so that they feel whatever, why just being sitting in that way, they feel connection with Krishna's words. And they will not be able to fall away from that very easily. And that is called dharana. Krishna uses the word yoga dharanaya, which is called brahma dharana, yoga dharana. There is many words in the shastram for that. This is also called sajatiya vritti. Sajatiya vritti means thought waves which are coming inside us favorable for spiritual life. Just by way we sit, this can change. If you sit in a particular way, it has its benefit. Then sajatiya vritti will come, vijatiya vritti won't come. this body is a complex thing, that it has its own way of generating thoughts inside. We wonder sometimes why such thoughts come to me, isn't it? Suppose you are in the association of people who have no interest in spiritual life, and just being there, they are affecting us. But by holding on to a certain way of posture, bodily posture, sitting in a particular way, others cannot influence you that strongly because you are established in that dharana. That's what is called a dharana. Dharana means within you, somewhere, you have made a decision that my mind, my body is everything in tune with the truth when I am situated in this pattern, if I sit like this. And if you keep on practicing that all the time, if you practice it like that all the time, wherever you go, and if you sit in that state, you will feel the same happiness, what you experienced when you were not there. So, without your effort, that dharana, experience of that dharana will come back to you. This is one of the methods what Krishna is suggesting there. These are all followed by the people who are following the yoga process seriously. They will always hold on to their way, not the world, to please the world. They won't adjust on those things. So, if we sit like that, then viparita anubhava, that means opposing experiences, thoughts, won't come inside in a natural way. So, and whatever anyone may say to him, it won't affect him. Some other people, due to austerities, they will control through austerities. And through austerities, what they will do by eating less and not involving in the world, pulling the world, mind, intelligence and the senses from the world, they will pull it back and they'll keep it inward looking all the time. All the time, inward looking. They'll hold it like that, which is a different way. Instead of adjusting the body there, what they are doing is, all the time they are conscious of the influence of body, mind and intelligence. So these three things, body, mind and intelligence, or senses, we'll put it like this, senses, the mind and the intelligence, these three things, they will not allow them to go freely. In other words, wherever they sense that there is a possibility of getting affected, they will withdraw the senses from there. They'll withdraw the mind from there. They'll withdraw the intelligence from there. And in that way, they will retain that state. They'll retain that state inside. They will never allow that to go out freely. That is another austerity. Some people, through chanting the holy name, mantra, chanting various mantras, some people you can observe that, they will take a vow that either they will chant 1000 names of Vishnu continuously, or they will chant the holy name continuously, or some particular kirtanam which they like, they'll constantly sing that all the time within themselves and hold on to that. And no time they will stop it. And if you do that all the time, the mind will become quietened. It won't allow the thoughts to come up. And that is called nishtha. Nishtha means that it will keep in its position. And aushadehi kalpa yoga naranaya akashil upasargan mirdahe. He says there that aushadham, and for normal life, kalpakam. Kalpakam means that certain things in the nature available, they are normally not taken by human species, human body. They don't take it. Human beings don't take it. Because to take them, there are certain restrictions on that. You have to prepare them properly. For example, there are certain trees, in Ayurveda also it's there, they will talk about that. Certain plants and certain trees, their fruits, they are extremely bitter. Extremely bitter. If you eat one leaf even of that plant, you can't take it in. It's so bitter that you will spit it out. You will spit it out. So, so what they do, that those things you start taking it. You start taking it. So these things are instructed by the teacher. The spiritual master is supposed to instruct them. And I don't know the names of those trees in English, what they are called, but they are there and they are still there. But you can try if you want to. Try. It is, and there's no taste at all. There's no taste at all. And they are called kalpam. Kalpam means that to consume that it is very, very difficult. This tree, one particular tree, it has got fruits in there. Small, just something like the size of a lemon, it comes out. And inside that there is a tree. There's a seed inside that fruit. And what they do, they wash it nicely, and a certain part of that, they'll put it in the tongue. And it is worse than the leaf. Leaf is bitter enough. But the seed is always stronger, isn't it? Much more concentrated that is. And if you put that in the mouth, and that too in the empty stomach in the morning when you wake up, put that in the stomach. And it's a very powerful thing, that plant, that fruit. It's a very, very powerful thing. But some people take the leaves, a few leaves they'll take, 3 or 4 leaves of that tree, and bite it in the morning. It's a kind of strengthening their determination. They'll do that. And that taste of that, they'll give them some strength inside, taste of those leaves. And some people, what they do, initially they will add some ghee into it to give some taste, and then later on they'll throw the ghee away, only take this when you get a little bit stronger. So, and all these are difficult things for many people, but if you do that, your prakriti, nature of your body will change. The bodily nature will change. And what it means is that you will feel that you have some control on your body. That's what it is. You will feel some control on your own body. That you won't feel completely helpless. Many people, they don't feel any control on their own body, isn't it? They feel helpless about it. Whatever body says, they go after that, or the mind says. They keep out to follow that. So, similarly, this bilua leaves, bilua tree, it leaves. Some people eat 4 or 5 leaves in the morning in empty stomach, and then after that they'll drink some water every day. It has no taste. Bilua leaves, if you eat, has no taste. And after that you drink some water. Neither taste either for that. And some people, they eat the tulsi leaves, 5 or 7 tulsi leaves every morning, and then they'll drink water. So, and when they drink the water, they're saying, this is tulsi leaves and this is Ganga water. In that understanding, they're drinking that. All these are kalpam. They are kalpam. So there are many things like this, different people follow, to keep this body, not allowing the body to take over, in other words. You have the control over the body rather than the body having the control over you. So these upasargam, Krishna is saying here, these practices will give you some shelter from the upasargam, from this upasargam. So it is good, Krishna saying, following any one of them for the sake of stopping this upasargam coming. If you do like that, the mind will not easily get shaken. Mind won't easily become, what happens to the mind. The mind, when it goes out, it gets immediately fizzled out, isn't it? Goes in all directions. That will stop that. It will stop that. If you follow any one of these things. These are in all the ashrams if you go, traditionally, brahmacharis or even sannyasis who are there, they will follow these things. They are the people who follow all these things. So, if the mind becomes very weak, that means if you are easily affected by the world, when you are taken out of a satsangam or when you are from a spiritual environment, if you are easily affected by that, then it's a serious thing. And a person who cannot survive that or who can sustain that, he will very easily, he will leave spiritual life and go away. Because he will find it very difficult. Spiritual life is demanding something, and then the other life, the association with the world, and the society, when you come into contact with them, they are demanding something else from us, isn't it? So, and only after a while you will realize it, that you don't have that spiritual insight or spiritual realization what you had has gone. And afterwards, after some time, you will know that you have no control on the situation. So, a person who has done a lot of yoga sadhana, and because he didn't have proper realization of the self, he has performed a lot of yoga sadhana, but he has no realization of the self. Imagine a situation like that. He has done a lot of sadhana, but he hasn't realized anything. But if he loses everything due to this flickering nature of the mind, is that not unfortunate? Is that not unfortunate? See, for example, you have done a lot of yoga sadhana in life, various practices you have done, and then because this mind is so flickering, and if you lose that because you did not realize the self, that's very unfortunate. Krishna is saying, when that happens, Krishna is saying here, kamshil mamana dhyanena nama sankirtana adhivi yogeshara anuvrtyamha hanyat ashubhadan shanehi kamshil mamana dhyanena nama sankirtana adhivi yogeshara anuvrtyava hanyad ashubhadan shanehi. He says there is alternatives for that also. What are they? All these things what we have spoken now, they are sometimes difficult for people to do due to various reasons, whatever that may be. In such a situation, Krishna says, continuously chant the holy name. That is a good way of escaping from the influence. Always chanting, always chanting. No matter, even sometimes you have to do in Vyavaharam, still chanting. While doing Vyavaharam also, chanting. And some others, they say that they'll completely take Krishna shelter. Completely take Krishna shelter. In other words, their faith in Krishna's protective power or shelter is so strong. No matter what happens, Krishna will look after me. Krishna won't let me fall. Krishna will take care of me. A strong faith like that. Some people have that. A strong faith that Krishna will look after everything. Or that they will chant the holy name and take the shelter of the holy name. They will take the shelter. Or they have strong faith in Krishna's protection. Krishna's protection. And for that, they will constantly remember the form of Krishna inside. Continuously remembering a particular form of Krishna, whatever they are attracted to. These are all various ways of getting over this upasarga. And they will never forget Krishna's form and keeping it inside. And every time when they remember that form, always there is bhakti inside, surrender and devotion. And some others, they continuously paying obeisances to the deity somewhere. Wherever, at home or somewhere else, or temples, wherever it is. Constantly paying obeisances just to get that strength inside, not to have the upasargam. And then they are also imagining at that time that Krishna is smiling and remembering Krishna's smile, and Krishna is giving me all the strength what I need. I will never be affected by the world outside. In this way, remembering Krishna all the time. So, and some others chanting the holy name and constantly chanting. Others may not hear that, but they are still chanting. They are still chanting. And through in the mind, chanting in the mind. If they are not chanting louder, they are chanting in the mind. Even then, that will also be protection from the upasarga. Nama sankirtana adhibi means, nama sankirtana adhibi, Krishna uses the word. Adhibi means kirtanam. You can do kirtanam always in some way, and take that shelter of the kirtanam as well. And some people, kirtanam means not only that you chant the holy name, but there are famous kirtanams. Mukundamala. If you memorize the verses, every day you keep chanting memorize and chant the verses of Mukundamala. Kulashekara awards Mukundamala. Glorification of Krishna as a devotee and relishing that all the time, chanting those verses. Or Vilamangalam's Krishna Karnamadam. You can recite those verses all the time and feeling shelter in the verses by reciting that. Or if you like Krishna's words in the Bhagavadam, wherever gopis, Gopika Gitam, reciting those verses, and because every time when you study these verses, when you understand them, you feel some connection with that. And then you take that as yours and recite them all the time. Gopika Gitam. Or Kundi Stuti, Kundi's prayers. Or Bhishma Stuti. These are all different people do different things according to their taste. Some people take, this is interesting actually, some people take Prithu Maharaj's story. They like that very much. Prithu's story. Some people who feel a lot connection with Ajamila, they talk about what Ajamila has spoken about the holy name and take the shelter of that. So whatever that gives you some attraction, whatever you are attracted to, take those verses, a few verses, and constantly reciting them. And if you constantly go on with it, after a while you will feel some identification with that, with those verses. And that will give you that strength, what is required. Taking shelter of that, in other words. Shelter of Vilamangalam's Krishna Karnamadam. Many beautiful verses there. Krishna's childhood pastimes. If you read and memorize those verses, they can give you a lot of strength. You will feel feel good when you recite those verses. Karnamadam. Like this, there are number of books. And some people don't study all the book completely. They'll pick certain verses out of them, which they feel inspired by that. And in this way, they will remove the upasargam. They will remove the upasargam. And and there are verses, Shivananda Lahari, there are verses there. Some people recite those verses, Shivananda Lahari. And when they are reciting those verses, whatever verses you are reciting, you should fully know the meaning of the verses and a proper explanation to those verses. Only then it will have its effect. Not that you just recite the verses, that may not do. You should know the meaning and the purport of those verses, expanded details of those verses. You don't have to name many, many verses. A few verses, 3 or 4 verses are enough. But you have to have that deep understanding of those verses, and that should become a method to stop this upasarga. So, some others you will observe in big temples, they go on circumambulating the temple continuously. Circumambulating as much as possible. If when they are circumambulating, they are chanting the holy name or some kirtanam in some way. And every day they will do a definite number of circumambulation of the deity. Because large temples have got large circumambulation routes also, path for circumambulation. Large path. They will fix a separate path for circumambulation of the temple altogether. So they feel, while walking around, they feel good because they are having their exercise also, and also the circumambulation makes them feel spiritually involved in an activity. And while walking, they will chant these verses, what they are fond of. Any stotrams they are called. For example, this Shri Krishna Karnamadam and similarly Mukundamala, these are all stotrams, verses in there which are meant for this. Non-stop reciting them all the time, non-stop. So, and some others, they look at others, some people, they look at others and they see how they are maintaining their strength in spiritual life. This is also another thing. You are looking at others, how they maintain their strength in spiritual life, and following them. For example, some yoga persons who are following yoga process, they live in a particular way, how they conduct their life in this world. And their lifestyle, they try to follow. And in that way they control themselves. You may not be able to do everything what they are doing, but as much as possible, make it like that. How, by observing everyone, you can see those who are serious about spiritual life, how they conduct their life. You can see from that, you will feel certain things to take to your own life. Take to your own life. So in that way also, Krishna is saying, it is possible to come out of upasargam. So various things now, what we have spoken here.
Yoga dharanaya kamschil asane dharananyudaihi.
39. Tapam mandra ushadhen kamschil upasargan vinirdahen kamschin mamanudhyanena nama sangirtana adhibi yogeshara anuvrtyava hanyal ashubhadan shanehi kejil dehamimam dhira sugalpam vayasistiram vidhaya vividhopaye atha yunjandi siddhaye. Atha yunjandi siddhaye.
Krishna says, some people, as they are getting older, when they are getting older, their attention will turn into the body, seriously. That happens when you get into the older, isn't it? And they will take certain medicines and certain treatment and try to feel younger, to feel young. They will try to take to those things. And they also want some siddhi, Aishwarya siddhi. They are looking for some Aishwarya Siddhi. And any Siddhi, they are happy to have it. And in that process, they would like to make their body strong. More than when they were young, youth, they'll start giving attention to the body at that time. And then again and again, changing their diet, changing the medicines they are taking, changing the way of life. And in various ways, they will try to change the way of life and thinking that I may acquire some siddhis from this. Krishna is saying all those things are not required. All those things are not required because these things, these processes or techniques what you are using, only what will happen is it may help to get your body strong and body in a proper shape or fitness. And then what will happen is, then you want the siddhi from that body. Once you feel the body is doing well and body is looking nice, you're feeling better in the body, then your attention will go in the direction of siddhis. And the effort will go in that direction. That can happen. That can happen. He say here,
Nahita kushala dhrityam tadayaso apartaka andavatval sharirasya phalasyeva vanaspate. Nahita kushala dhrityam tadayaso apartaka andavatval sharirasya phalasyeva vanaspate. Phalasyeva vanaspate. You see, in the yoga processes, Krishna is saying that certain siddhis that comes from the yoga processes, they are not worthwhile. Krishna's opinion is this. Krishna is saying that if you, even though it is a good thing, you can't say like that, Krishna says, that your body, because of your, because of your effort, you have tried to improve the condition of the body and certain benefits you are experiencing from that. Body has become strong and the body is has become powerful and strong, and therefore you are expecting some results from that in the form of siddhi. Siddhi. Siddhi means, what does siddhi mean? Siddhi means, remember Aishwarya Siddhi is what Krishna has spoken before. That means able to enter into another body, paragaya pravesham, and also able to travel in the astral body. Dura shravanam and paragaya pravesham, and the 16 of them mentioned in the earlier chapter where Krishna spoke about that. So if your attention, when the body gets better, it is possible that such desires can come to develop siddhi. That desires can come. And that effort is useless, Krishna is saying here. Why? Because if you ask the question, is the siddhi is not good? Yes, it is, but you don't know when you will die. And once you die, siddhi is over. Finish there with that. Is it not? So, then what is the point in having siddhi? That is Krishna's point. Krishna's point is, you may have all these siddhis, because these are all distractions from our spiritual path. Spiritually, when you are progressing, the goal is self-realization, isn't it? Realizing the self, who we are. But suddenly, attention fell on the body, and the body started getting feeling good. And the result is that something related to the body, you want to, on the bodily level, you want to succeed by acquiring some siddhis. If such a desire comes, Krishna says that is harmful. Reason being, because the moment the body will drop one day anyway, and when the body drops, all the time you have invested in this, in acquiring that siddhi, that's also gone. That's also gone. Once it so happened that that this is a story, you can read this in the Ramakrishna's life. What he had one disciple who lived on the opposite side of the Ganga River. And every day he used to come to his ashram from the opposite side and by boat. So while one day when he was crossing Ganga River, he saw one person walking over the water through the yoga process, yoga siddhi he has developed through yoga process. So seeing that, he was attracted to that, very much attracted to that, that he has developed this capacity to walk over the water. So when he got there, Ramakrishna asked him that what happened today, he said to him. So he said, I saw this and I was very much attracted by that capacity to walk over the water. It's not an easy thing. And he started explaining his, how he was glorifying about this incident to Ramakrishna. Ramakrishna says to him that, did you ask him how long it took for him to develop this power, this siddhi? So he said, yes, I asked him, and he said he spent 40 years practicing that yoga system to develop this power to walk over the water. He said, then Ramakrishna asked him, how much it costs to cross Ganga River by boat? He said, it costs 10 pence or 10 paisa or whatever that is. He said, so to get this, to save this 10 paisa, you have spent 40 years of your lifetime wasted in this way. In other words, spiritually you didn't make any progress. That is what it is. It is also another upasargam. See how it comes. That various attractions in this world, something happens and then you go, you leave everything and then you go after that. You are thinking that at least let me have this in life. Once that thought comes, you are completely forgetting that life will finish and go one day, and all your siddhi, aishwaryam, everything gone with that. Is it not? That's what he is saying. So, that he is saying here, that yogam nishayavado nityam kayaschel kalpadamiyad tachradhyanam adhiman yogam ulsrajyamal paraham. So, see, for example, for the sake of maintaining the body so that it doesn't get sick, for that purpose, pranayama and things like that, if you do that, it's not very harmful. But as long as the body is there, let it remain as best as he can, as in better state as it can. That's okay. But Krishna is saying, intelligent person, he is saying there that he will not, should not get attracted to the body. And if his attention turns to the body and to maintain the body, then he will not make progress on the spiritual side. Notice on the spiritual side. For the sake of the body, he shouldn't do it anything. That is the way Krishna is presenting it here. He says, for the sake, yogam nishevado nityam, kayaschet kalpadam yad, tachraddha dhyanam adhiman, yogam ulsrajyam alpara. Yogam ulsrajyam alpara. Krishna's point is that when a person gets old, he will find it difficult that the body is having problems. And naturally, when the body is giving trouble, more attention you will devote to the body. Is it not? When the body starts giving trouble, you will give more attention and time to the body. And in that process, you may find there is some improvement in the health, because you are giving more time to the body, and therefore some improvement in the health also. And you will start thinking, actually I am feeling more healthy now, although I am getting older. In reality, when you are getting older, your health should go bad, isn't it? Go down. But instead, it's getting better. So, and other people will start saying to you, oh, you look very good for your age. One or two comments like that, people start making like that. And then you start thinking that you are getting better in the body. Suppose you go and do this kayagalpam, panchakarmam and all that, what Ayurveda is offering. When you come back, you will feel better for some time. And then you will start saying to others also, you will start recommending, do this, this doctor is good, this treatment is good, this hospital is good. You start recommending. What has happened? Krishna says, whole attention has gone away from spiritual life to the body. That's what has happened now. This is happening to many people. You can see that they have gone and found some place where they can have a good treatment. Money is there, freely available. Time is also there. They've gone and done it, and they come back healthy. And they look good, physically they look good, because they had a good treatment. So then people are saying to them, oh, you look so good, maybe he's so advanced spiritually, that's why he's looking so good. All these false concepts comes like this. So all the time it's happening. And he is thinking, look, that treatment has helped me so much that I got... And attention is always on the body only, nothing else. So that is the point Krishna is making here also. So people will start saying that that the Brahmanishta has gone. Brahmanishta has gone. That they start getting more faith in your own body. The faith in the body gets stronger. Faith. So then you start thinking that you will stop the Brahmanishta and you will start your Sharira Nishta. Sharira Nishta will start at that time. And if you do like that, Krishna is saying, that is your stupidity. That's your stupidity is warning there. He says, yogam nishevado nityam kayaschet kalpadamiyat tachraddha dhyanam adhiman yogam ulsrajya malpara. Yogam ulsrajya malpara. Intelligent person, he should not give attention to the body to that extent. Then, after giving up this body that he is going after giving up all his spiritual life, he is going after the body now. He is saying like that. that you are taken to this service to the body after giving up your spiritual process. Is there anything worse than that? That's the question Krishna is asking. There's nothing worse than that. You come to spiritual life to come out of the body. After doing that for so many years, you're going back to the body again to get it stronger. So is there anything more worse than that? That's what Krishna is asking. To come out of the body itself, it's such a hard task. Is it not? To come out of this body. It's such a huge task it is. Years and years of sadhana, shastram and association, so much required to come to a platform of the soul, to understand that I'm not this body. And then after doing all that, you are again going back to the same body to look after. and getting, because your faith in the body has come back again. That's a danger. He's warning there. Then the next verse you will see, Krishna says something else.
Yoga charya mimam yogi vicharan madvepa shraya andarayar vihanyeda nispraha sasukha nubho.
That here Krishna says that one who is practicing this properly, this yoga process, particularly without cultivating any desires inside, if it is like that, he has no desires inside and he is following this yoga process sincerely, in that case, if there is no desires inside and if he is following the yoga process seriously, upasargam won't come, Krishna says. Upasargam won't come. But because there are desires inside, that is why upasargam is coming. Various upasargams are coming because of the presence of desires. Presence of desires. And another reason, Krishna says, due to lack of titiksha. Titiksha. Titiksha means, what does titiksha mean? Tolerance. Able to tolerate things. There's no tolerance inside. Unable to tolerate due to that. So many times there is not enough titiksha inside. You will see in the Bhagavatam, titiksha vakka yuniga sukrida sarva dehinam ajada shatrava shanda sadhavo sadhubhushana. Sadhu's first quality is titiksha. Able to tolerate others. Whatever the world throws at you, able to tolerate that. That is called titiksha. Isn't it? Sahanam sarva dukhanam apradigara purvagam. The definition in the Viveka Chudamani you will see. Sahanam sarva dukhanam apradigara purvagam chinda vilapa rahitam sa titiksha iti kathyate. It says that all distress that coming in this life, sarva dukhanam sahanam, tolerate that. How? Apradigara purvagam, without any vengeance inside, not in a revengeful mood. Then chinda vilapa rahitam, and when situations happens like that in life, not lamenting about that, oh this happened, that's happened, and then feeling morose and depressed about that. That, all that is against titiksha. Titiksha means to tolerate all situations without complaint. Some people you will see this, to a very high degree of titiksha. And some people you will see also in a very limited way. So titiksha is, because of lack of this titiksha, Krishna says upasargam comes. Upasargams comes. So, so here, for example, for this tidiksha situations, sometimes you see in one place while living very difficult. Everything you find that it's not very favorable is, you're struggling against so many other things. And suddenly you start feeling it's not worthwhile living in this place. I should move away from here to something else. And these thoughts are coming only due to absence of titiksha inside. By going from one place to another place, it's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to solve the problem. Suppose you are feeling problems here while living here. That problems have come due to your prarabdham. Due to your prarabdham it has come, not due to anything else. And if you leave this place and go somewhere else, this prarabdham also come with you there. It's not going to leave. You can't throw the prarabdham away. Prarabdham was here in one form, but you will see this same prarabdham there in another form. It will go with you. If you go from one place to another, prarabdham will hold on to you and will come with you to the next place. And only thing is, it will come in another form in that place. Here in one form, there will be in another form. So, and that is what they are saying. If the titiksha is the answer for that, if you tolerate them, then that's the answer to that. And because there is no titiksha, and because there is desires inside, and that is the reason Krishna is saying all these upasargams comes, what we spoke about. All the upasargams are a result of that. Now, there are certain upasargams which does not belong to that category. There are certain upasargams which does not belong to that category. What are they? It will come through other people. It will come through other people, through devadas also, sometimes. So, why other people have turned against you and against that? That can happen because when one is practicing spiritual life and you are establishing the yoga process, you are more steady in your life. And when others see that, they see that you are healthy and you are peaceful and you are clear in your intelligence, knowledge, and things are working out okay. When others see this, they start thinking, why is it happening like this to them? Why it's not happening to me? Whereas I'm having all sorts of problems. And this thought can even come to the demigods. Demigods can even think like that. And what will they do? That it happens to human beings, but even for the demigods it can happen. So what they will do is, they will create some upasargam. Even the demigods will create upasargam. You have to remember that when we are going to the spiritual world, when we leave this material existence, we will pass through the planets of the demigods in the Krama Mukti. It will happen. It's not that straight away the flight goes from here. It will pass through so many other places. And while going, suppose he is a realized soul here in the Jnana Mandalam, then he go to the field of jnanam. You know, there is karma mandalam, jnana mandalam in the creation, in these three planetary systems itself. Karma mandalam, escaping from karma mandalam means you come to the jnana mandalam, to the plane of knowledge. So once you enter into the jnana mandalam is a field of knowledge which is above the heavenly planets. Heavenly planets are below that. When we say high, below, upper, lower and all that, you should not take it physically. That's not what it means. What it means is that in our journey, these different worlds will come on the way. Just like you can see, Bhumandalam, Bhurmandalam, Surgamandalam, Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tapologam, Satyalogam. Like that, different planets, different planetary systems where we have to pass through. Similarly, we say Atholokam, lower planetary system. Not in the sense that they are physically lower. That's not what it means. That passage through which the soul has to travel in its journey, in freeing itself from this earthly planet. So, there they've got Adalam, Midalam, lower planetary systems. Adalam, Midalam, Sudalam, Taladalam, Padalam, all these things. They're all different. Lower planets, when we say lower planets, means lower planets due to their lack of spiritual realization. The higher planets have higher realization, lower planets are no realization, less realization. More on the bodily identity, on the higher planets on a higher identity. Again, not physically higher or lower, but the passage in which we pass through them. Physically saying has no meaning in these things. So you can see these lower planetary systems, it is from that different names are coming. For example, you will see in the Bhagavatam this word Atalam, one word called Atalam. Atalam, Vidalam, Sudalam, Taladalam, like that. That from that only the other words have come. For example, the Atlantic has come from Atalam. Atalam is the source from where Atlantic has come. So, these different planetary systems, what we have to pass through in our spiritual journey, once you get released from that means first you have to get released from the earth, earthly planet. As long as you are in the earthly planet means you are in the karma mandalam. You are not free. You are in the field of karma. Karma and its effect, and again body, another body. This is all decided and we have to remain here. So, therefore, while moving in that process, Jnana Mandalam is considered to be higher than the heavenly planets. Not in the physical sense, but on a spiritual sense. It is on a higher level. So, to go there, you have to pass through these heavenly planets. It's not travel directly to that heavenly, Tapa Mandalam or Jnana Mandalam. Jnana Mandalam means Maharlogam, Mahalogam, Janalogam, Tapologam, Satyalogam. They are all the plane of knowledge. Bhumandalam, Bhormandalam, Solmandalam in the middle planetary system. And our planet, earthly planet, is Karma Mandalam. So, something like, suppose I have to go to somebody's house and I have to pass through another friend of mine, I have to pass in front of his gate. Similarly, something like that. So this person will notice, oh, he has passed through in front of me, he didn't drop in, he instantly went in the other way, he will say like that, isn't it? He didn't come to see us, he's going to see somebody else. Similarly, demigods also keeps an eye on us. When we are passing through, they will say, after all, they will notice it because we are passing through the gate, isn't it? Then they will think, oh, is he that big, such a great person that he can just walk through in front of me? Demigods will think like that. They think about us that we are just like worms here in this planet, like in the human body. And look at the way he is going now, and he is crossing over us and he is going in front of us in the queue. Like when somebody do the queue jumping, how you feel, who is he, why is he going in the front of the queue? That feeling will come, isn't it? Queue jumping. Similarly, demigods also have all these things, problems, what we have got, they also have. So, and they say that what they are saying about us is, look, he was only a human being in the earthly planet and now he is going in front of us. Think about his arrogance, they think like about us. And when they think like that about us, they will put some obstacles in front of that person. And these kind of things you can see in the Puranam a lot. How the demigods are putting obstacles to us. So we'll have a break now.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamahadava nirvavanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam rudivardhanam rudipada purnamadasvadanam sarvatna suvanam param vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namnamahari bahudanija sarva shakti tatrarpidanimida smaranena gala Edadrishitam Kripa Bhagavan Namami Gurdaiva Meenashamiha Janinanuragaha Pranara Vishuni Jaina Tarahora Visaheshtuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Janam Sundarim Kavidam Vajagadi Shakamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadat Bhakti Rahai Luhitvai Ayi Nandadanu Jagingaram Padidamam Shame Bhavambudo Kribaya Tava Pada Pangajastida Duli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Ganada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgadirudhaya Gira Pulagaya Vichidam Kadava Bhuta Vanna Vagrahane Bhavishyari Yuga Idam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravisha Idam Shunya Idam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Ashleshava Padaridam Pinishtumam Adarshana Marmahadam Karyotuva Yadadhanava Vidadadulam Gado Malpranadha Sunayana Vara.
Yogajaryami mam yogi vijaran madava ashraya andarayar vahanyede nispruhasa sukhanyabhum. That is, Krishna says there that what we were talking about, andarayam means these obstacles. Upasargam we have discussed. Krishna is again mentioning about andarayam there. Yogajaryami mam yogi vijaran madava ashraya Andarayar vihanyeda nasprahasa sukhanabhu. So, Andarayam, that we have seen that obstacles will come from the family, from family members. They can create obstacles. They can create obstacles. It's in a family, you can see it's enough. If husband or wife, one of them don't agree, it has become a problem. Isn't it? Wife says, no, I'm not interested. Or husband says, I am not interested, and the raya must come there. So, and this, and similarly devadas also, they can create. And you can see in the Puranams, this coming up again and again, different Puranam. As soon as somebody starts severe austerities and penances, Indra gets upset there. Have you noticed that? Indra will get upset. Then they have got Apsaras women, Vasanda, Hrutu, and Malaya Maharita. That is the weapon, different weapons what Indra has in his hand to destroy your, to move you away from your determination in spiritual life. And but those who are very established, they won't get disturbed over this. Weaker-minded people, they will, as soon as they get attracted by little bit of happiness in this world, they will get absorbed in that and they will fall. Certain small sense gratification is sufficient to push them down in, from the spiritual path. And that is called Pragradatvam. Pragradatvam means, because there is not enough purity inside. Enough purity inside. So, so it is the Pragrada people, people who are not refined, in other words. They are the ones who easily fall, who are not refined very well. So, demigods, they make them victims of that. You will see this famous story in the, it is there in the Bhagavadam, it is there in the Mahabharatam, it is there in the Vedam as well. How Vishwamitra fell. Very well known story, isn't it? Many times he fell. And due to the Vishwamitra's problem was this, that he was able to come back again in spite of the fact that he fell many, many times in his spiritual path. So, it is only because he had the proper power of discrimination inside. Vishwamitra had. Therefore he came back. But a person who does not have that kind of power inside, or power of discrimination, then one andarayam is sufficient for him to fall once for all. A little andarayam is sufficient for him to fall. But Vishwamitra had a lot of strength in him, therefore it didn't happen. Remember, Vishwamitra had a girl born from Menaka. That's a well-known story, isn't it? Vishwamitra was performing penances. Indra sent Menaka there to distract his attention. And Vishwamitra got attracted to Menaka and a girl was born called Shakuntala. Shakuntala was born from that. Vishwamitra left the child in the forest and went away. Didn't look after the baby. Menaka also left the baby. Neither the father nor the mother cared for the baby, and baby was lying in the forest. By chance, from this what do you understand? For a woman from the heavenly planets, like Menaka, abandoning a human baby is not difficult. Because as far as she is concerned, she is on a much higher birth. And this baby is from him, from a, after all it's come from Vishwamitra. And it's not a very higher birth for her. So that is possible for her to do that. But someone here who has got a male form body here like Vishwamitra, for him to give up the attachment to a son or daughter like that is not easy. It's not easy. And only if you have that capacity, discriminative power inside, that I fell down in this process, only then you can do that. Vishwamitra came to the forest to perform penances and to realize the self. And it ended up like this. But somehow or the other, Vishwamitra pulled all his strength together and came out of that. So what is it showing to us? That only if you have that maturity inside and also power of discrimination, that this can, one can get out of that. And if the, but at the same time, another important point is, Vishwamitra didn't have the proper maturity there. He left the girl, baby girl, and went away. The whole story you have to read, to understand the whole message there. Vishwamitra left the baby and went away from there. And then Kanva Maharshi, whose ashram was nearby, by chance saw the baby, brought the baby home and brought her up. Brought up Kanva Maharshi, brought up the Shakuntala. Kanva Maharshi and Vishwamitra, both of them are rishis. Both of them are rishi. And so if the baby is going to be a problem for Vishwamitra, Kanva Maharshi, it was not a problem. How come Kanva Maharshi brought the baby and brought the baby up? And knowing this, that bringing up a baby is not going to be an easy thing. It's going to be a lot of effort and energy. Still, Kanva Maharshi took the baby and went to the ashram. And he didn't have anybody there to look after. He was on his own. And he's bringing this baby home and brought up that baby there. Who? Shakuntala. Shakuntala. So, what was a problem for Vishwamitra was not a problem for Kanva Maharshi. That's what we have to understand. What was problem for Vishwamitra? Vishwamitra couldn't do it. Kanva Maharshi could do it. So, because he took up that baby and brought home and brought that baby up, what happened afterwards were all very auspicious things happened from that. What was the auspicious thing? From that Shakuntala, Bharata was born. Not the Bharata, son of Rishabhadev, but the Emperor Bharata. Emperor Bharata. Why? Kanva Maharshi took Shakuntala and brought up Shakuntala there. Shakuntala did her part properly because she was brought up by Kanva Maharshi. What was that? When Shakuntala grew up, Kanva Maharshi has trained that baby in a proper way. Shakuntala was trained very well by Kanva Maharshi because he was bringing up in the ashram. He was a rishi, wasn't it? So, brought up the baby into the ashram, educated the baby very well in all the shastram, everything, and gave enough culture also to the baby, samskaram also. Brought the baby through all the different samskarams, were trained, and brought her up like a proper princess. She was brought up there like a proper princess. And at the same, although she is a princess, so she is a princess because it was Vishwamitra, although Rishi, he was a king as well, isn't it? So, Kshatriya blood is in her, Kshatriya nature in Shakuntala. And Menaka, having come from the heavenly planets, they both had that quality in them that she was living, but she was living like a tapaswini. Tapaswini means one who performs austerities and penances and living a life of austerity there. So, if a princess become a tapaswini, what will happen? And Shakuntala has become like that. She was a princess, but she has become a tapaswini, who performs tapaswini. So, it is in that way Shakuntala lived in the Kanva Maharshi's ashram. It is at that time Shakuntala was ready for marriage. She was by age, she has come to that stage. And you can imagine Kanva Maharshi's situation. You have to remember, Kanva Maharshi has no social life. He is a rishi living in the forest. And this girl has grown up and is marriageable age. Who? Shakuntala. Shakuntala is marriageable age. Where do you go for finding a husband? Where will you find a husband? Imagine Kanva Maharshi's situation. He is not living in the society. He is living in the forest alone. And he brought this baby up, fed the baby, looked after the baby and everything what has to be educated the girl. And also all the samskarams were performed and she was ready for marriage. And she is in the ashram living as a tapaswini, performing. So, but Kanva Maharshi thought, what should she do? Kanva Maharshi's dilemma. So, to whom can he ask? There's nobody there in the forest. Whom will you ask all these things? So, and it is unheard of that a rishi is bringing a girl and trying to find a husband for the daughter. This is all unheard of. Never happened in the history before. Rishis are people who have left everything from the world and gone to the forest. Why they should get involved in our vyavaharam here? This marriage and all is our vyavaharam here, isn't it? But this, it so happened in Kanva Maharshi's life that this girl Shakuntala has grown up and she had to be married, and Kanna Maharshi was thinking about that. And in the obviously Kanna Maharshi has to have his horoscope made, her horoscope, and find a husband whose horoscope will match with the daughter horoscope, this Shakuntala's horoscope. All these things, if he does that, the people in the villages and towns, they will laugh at him. Because it's not of his business. They will say, he has gone to the forest and he is living a householder life there, busy with all these kind of things. And not only that, it is not even his daughter. Not even his daughter. It is something like what you got from the street. Like you got 10 pounds or something like that, you got this baby in your hand. So, thinking that let the baby live its life, just out of compassion, brought the baby home and brought her up. Only due to karunyam, that kindness, that mercy, compassion inside. And therefore he did all the samskaram, what was necessary to be done for the baby. And finally, when this age come, he tried to find someone to marry to Shakuntala. So, it was at that time, he was thinking about this. Kanna Maharshi taught one day that there was a lunar eclipse and there was a Soma Tirthasnanam. He goes for Tirthasnanam. Tirthasnanam means to bathe in the river. Kanna Maharshi goes, leaving the Shakuntala at home, at the ashram. Kanna Maharshi goes to the river to bathe. And that was a special occasion. Soma Tirthasnanam. That was what was happening. So, it was at that time, Dushyanta comes, the king. King Dushyanta comes here, and when he came there, Kanna Maharshi was not there. When Dushyanta came there, Kanna Maharshi was not there. Both of them saw each other, Shakuntala and Dushyanta saw each other, and they got attracted to each other. And before Kanna Maharshi came back, they got married. Before Kanna Maharshi came back, according to Gandharvam. Remember, marriage, there are different kinds of marriages. Gandharvam, Paishajigam, Rakshasam, like that you will see in the Bhagavatam spoken. Different kinds of marriages. So this was Gandharva Vivaham. Gandharva Vivaham means, without the permission from the parents, has boy and the girl making an agreement, deciding each other to get married together. That's Gandharvam. One of the Gandharvam. So, Gandharvam, according to Gandharva Vidhi, the marriage happened, and after the marriage, he stayed some time and Dushyanta left. Dushyanta left the ashram and went away. This has happened. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? It is providence. In order this to happen, only for that, Kanna Maharshi went to Swamatirtham that day. So when all these things happen, Kanna Maharshi was away. Normally Kanna Maharshi doesn't go away anywhere, he stays. But on that particular day, it is quite unusual for Kanna Maharshi to go away from the ashram. But on that particular day, Kanna Maharshi had decided to go. And on that particular day, Dushyanta has decided to come there. It was not a deliberate decision, it just happened that way. That's called providence. And he has never knew that Kanna Maharshi's ashram was there. He didn't know about Kanna Maharshi also. Somehow or the other, in the process of hunting in forest, wandering around, he ended up there. That's how it happened. The moment Kanna Maharshi has gone for Tirthasnanam, to bathe in the river, and he left the ashram, that was the same point time when Dushyanta felt that he had to come to this place. He had to come to this place. So, and that was the time when he left on hunting expedition, hunting process, program, and he ended up in front of this ashram. When Kanna Maharshi arrived in the Somatirtham, where he was performing his penances, at the same time, when Kanna Maharshi arrived there, Dushyanta arrived in the ashram. Dushyanta arrived in the ashram. When Kanna Maharshi finished his bathing there, Dushyanta got married to Shakuntala. Dushyanta got married to Shakuntala. And after the bathing, it is not they gone there to bathe Actually, they have gone to perform bathing and they have several rituals to perform after that in the Tirthasthanam. Rishis and all, when they go, bathing is a long process. It's not a 10 minutes what we call shower, holding the thing on the head and finishing. That's not bathing. For them, bathing means in the river, hours together chanting the Gayatri in the river, and there are various mantram related to bathing. While pouring the water, while drying the body, while rubbing with the earth, all separate mantram to be chanted. This is a whole book you can available, how to bathe. It's a whole book about that. So, naturally rishis are well versed in all these things, and he had been doing all this. So, when Kannu Maharshi left the ashram, Dushyanta started from his palace for hunting. When Kannu Maharshi arrived at the riverbank for bathing, Dushyanta arrived at the ashram. And by the time Kannu Maharshi finished his bathing, Dushyanta had already established a relationship with Shakuntala and they got married. So, what does that indicate? Why I'm saying all this thing is, Kannu Maharshi brought Shakuntala to the ashram. And in his sankalpam, in his thoughts, he thought this child should have a future. I brought her up to this stage. And seeing her, Kannu Maharshi felt that there must be some higher principle operating behind it. Kannu Maharshi is that understanding, how depth it was. Unlike Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra could not handle it. He left and ran away from there. Whereas Kannu Maharshi, being much more matured in spiritual life, he could see that this girl Shakuntala may be a higher purpose why she was born in front of the ashram like this. So he brought her up. And having brought her up, he felt, although a rishi, although there was no opportunity to arrange a husband or anything for her, he still felt that things will happen in due course in the proper way. That faith and strength in Kannu Maharshi was so good that everything happened purely due to the sankalpa shakti of Kannu Maharshi. Kannu Maharshi's power of sankalpam. And that is the reason that when they say that, and who had come there? Among the many kings who were present at that time, the most powerful of all, who? Dushyanta. The most powerful of all the kings at that time, Dushyanta happened to come there, of all. And that Dushyanta, without being asked by anyone or requested by anybody, comes on his own to the ashram. And without even inquiring where the Maharshi is, where is he, when is he coming back, no question at all, and he married her, Shakuntala. Normally you would have asked, he said, Shakuntala would have, normal situation I'm saying, even if Dushyanta was attracted by Shakuntala, and Dushyanta wanted to marry Shakuntala, you would expect that Dushyanta would have waited there till Kannu Maharshi comes back, and Shakuntala would have said that to him. Nothing happened. Before Kannu Maharshi came back, Dushyanta married Shakuntala and Dushyanta left. And it is all showing to us that inside Kannu Maharshi, he had that clarity inside. Things will happen in a better way. That power of that sankalpa shakti. So, and if you have that kind of sankalpam, power of sankalpam, about the things to happen in the future, and if you have that capacity to discriminate things properly, Vishwamitra would not have fallen into that situation. Vishwamitra would not have left the baby, but that Vishwamitra didn't have. That's why he left. Vishwamitra didn't have. Kannu Maharshi had it. Kannu Maharshi had that pakoda or maturity in spiritual life, that when a living entity, like in the form that human baby, Shakuntala Kayam, gave time to look after that baby and build up that baby, and eventually when he was in this dilemma, how to find a husband for Shakuntala, By superior arrangement, Dushyanta comes and marries her. And she became pregnant as well. And Dushyanta has left. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. You see that word? Apakva yoginam. You will see one word. In the 38th verse, yogino apakva yogasya inchata kayam. This apakva yoga, one who is apakva, immature in their yoga system. That is what will happen to them. And that is what it is showing. That apakvada in Vishwamitra and pakvada in Kannu Maharshi. Maturity in Kannu Maharshi and immaturity of Vishwamitra. That's what is shown there. So, but that immaturity of Vishwamitra at the same time, but the maturity of Kannu Maharshi, that did not become a problem for the world because of the maturity of Kannu Maharshi. Why? Because due to Shakuntala, we had Emperor Bharata was born. Emperor Bharata was born. And Bharata was not an ordinary person. He was one of the incarnations of Krishna. Krishna is one of the incarnations. Bharata Chakravarti, Emperor Bharata. And his story is in the 9th canto. And it's a very interesting story. This Bharata story. When we come to 9th canto later, we will discuss that. So, it is this Bharata who controlled this whole planet in such a beautiful way. His administration. People are frightened of him. To such an extent that nobody could do anything. Crime was not there. And not only that, he was so strict with his principles. When he was a little boy, Bharata was born in the ashram, Kannu Maharshi's ashram. Dushyanta went back. Dushyanta forgotten about this incident that he married Shakuntala. And therefore, when the boy grew up, Kannu Maharshi sends Shakuntala with the baby, with the boy to Dushyanta, to the palace, and send a message to Dushyanta to take care of her. Dushyanta says, I don't know about who this is. Says about Shakuntala. It's very nicely spoken in the Bhagavatam. It's there in the Mahabharata also, big story it is. Many chapters it goes. So Shakuntala was in a dilemma what to say. But seeing the boy, Bharata, Dushyanta was amazed by his nature. That kshatra in him, kshatriya tejas. At that time there was a voice from the sky, Dushyanta, you take care of her, that's your wife. And then Dushyanta accepts her later. But that comes later. That's not the point. Point here is that the Bharata was born and Kannu Maharshi, if Dushyanta has married Shakuntala because Kannu Maharshi brought her up, otherwise it wouldn't have happened. And that is also the Sankalpa Shakti of Kannu Maharshi. And this little Bharata, when he was a little boy, 2-3 years old, he'll go to the forest and catch hold of the, what do they call, the cubs. Little lions, baby lions. And bring them into the ashram and fight with them. Baby lions, when he was a little boy, he used to fight with them. That's how strong he was. And his nature was, what do you say, like a daredevil he was. Daring, very daring, not frightened about anything. So, so we were talking about Andarayan, isn't it? So, this qualification in Kannu Maharshi, where did that come from? He had no desire from her. He was not expecting anything from... He was an old person. Who, Kannu Maharshi? Old Rishi. He was more absorbed in the spiritual side of life. But still, he was able to handle the situation very well. Able to handle the situation very well. Without any desire and without any mistakes, he conducted his life. And he was still established in his spiritual situation only because he had a lot of titiksha, tolerance in him. Capacity to tolerate all these inconveniences in life. So, such a person, Kannu Maharshi was not disturbed. So, this Andarayam was there, was not a problem for him. Although it was an Andarayam for him. Bringing up Shakuntala was an Andarayam for him. Rishis are supposed to be in dhyana meditation all the time. Isn't it? So, but due to titiksha, he was able to overcome that situation. So that is why, because we don't have titiksha in us, that is why we fall and we fall away from spiritual life altogether. So only message Krishna is saying there is that all situations one has to have titiksha. One has to have titiksha to tolerate such situations. And that means never to think in life things should happen everything in my way. Everything should happen in my way, the way I want it to happen. That has no meaning. That will not happen. The way we want things to happen, it won't happen. Things will happen in its own way. That understanding, that's important in spiritual life. Unless you have that understanding, that everything in life won't happen the way we want that to happen. And accepting that is called titiksha. So that is why. So whether you are a rishi in the forest engaged in tapasya, or whether you are a sannyasi, whatever it may be, you are not going to get released from here unless this titiksha is there. Titiksha must be there in a person. Titiksha alone, if you have that, you can tolerate things. A person who doesn't have that, he cannot go out of this field of karma. And a person who has got titiksha, for him there will be no upasargam, Krishna says. There will be no upasargam for a person who has got titiksha. Titiksha. You will see in the Bhagavatam again and again spoken about this titiksha word. Titikshava karuniya sukhrida sarvadehinam ajada shatrava shanda sadhava sadhubhushana. Then Bhagavad Gita also. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa chandirarjavam ajaryobasanam shaujam sairyam alpavinigraha indriyarteshu vairagyam anahankaram evaja janmam mrityujara vyadi dukkha doshana darshanam asaktiyana vishvanga putra dara grihadisho nityanja samajitvatvam ishta anishtoma bhattisho vaijananya yonkena bhaktiravya vijarini vivitta desha sevitvam aradir jana samsadi adhyatma jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartha darshanam edal jnana vidhi proktam ajnanam tadaninyatha. Out of that there you will see that word ahimsa shanti. Ahimsa shanti. Titiksha is that. Titiksha means this, to tolerate anything what happens in life. No matter if the whole world spits at you, you have to take it. You can't fight against that. It's no point in thinking in that other way. It's not going to work. So here also, here the same thing. That what we saw there, that the 43rd verse.
Yogam nishevado nityam kayaschet kalpadamiyan tachraddhyanam adiman yogam ulsrajyamal paraha. Yogam nishevado nityam kayaschet kalpadamiyan. That we have discussed that. Because malpara, Krishna says here, yogam ulsrajyamal para. Malpara means we have to become malpara. Malpara means that completely surrender to Krishna at that time. Completely surrender to Krishna. Because that person who is progressing on the platform of spiritual life, he cannot think about his body. Think about his body. If he is thinking about his body, that means he is gone off the track. So even when bodies are coming and going, he should not give attention to that. And as we mentioned before, in order to escape from that, for that purpose, yoga dharana, mantram, aushadam, all these things may help, but there is no need for that. It may help, but there is no need for that. We have to be always aware what's our actual relationship with this body once we come to spiritual life. Therefore, he is saying, yoga charya mimam yogi vijaran madhavashraya andarayar vihanyade nispruhasya sukhanubhu. Krishna saying, if you take shelter of me all the time, and that he mentions in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Execute your spiritual life taking Krishna shelter. Yogam yunjanmadashraya. Mayasakta manaparta yogam yunjanmadashraya. Again same thing here also. Yogam yunjanmadashraya. Krishna taking Krishna shelter, then pradibandham, problems won't come. Because you are not taking Krishna shelter, that is why problems are coming. Problems are coming. Andarayer vihanyada nasprahasya sukhanubhu. He will become nasprha. Nasprha means desires won't come. It is only because of desires that these obstacles are coming. Because if you are absorbed in the spirit soul and in all what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam, how can you get attracted to something else? That's because there is still desires inside for something else. That is where it's coming. And it will not, if he gets attracted to the spiritual knowledge, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam, then you will get absorbed in that and no blockage will come, no obstacles will come. Saying this, Krishna stopped there. And that is the message Krishna has given. Be established in the self and pass through this world to Uddhava. See that? Andarayer vihanyada nasprha susukhanubhu. Susukhanubhu. So he is saying this to Uddhava, that and so this is how he closes this chapter. What did Krishna say to Uddhava in the beginning? Tondu sarvam parityajya sneham sojana bandusho maya veshyamana samya samadre vijarasvatam. This chapter is the one which makes you samadrik. To make that samadrik. That's why this knowledge, this chapter. So, different things we went through Ekadasham now, a lot. We have discussed the Tatra Gita, Hamsa Gita, Ayala Gita, Bhikshu Gita, all four Gitas we have seen. And we also seen when Krishna started talking in these four Gitas, he spoke the instructions to Uddhava. They are Sandhu Sarvam Parityajas Neham Sajana Bandushu. That is the one to Dattatraya Gita. What the Rishi, that Maharshi, Dattatraya, how he was developing his spiritual life based on the 24 spiritual masters, based on the body, what he had learned from them. Is it not? Sandhu Sarvam Parityajas Neham Sajana Bandushu. Then Mayaveshyamana is the one which comes through Hamsa Gita. That modes of material nature, they are present in us and they will interact with the senses. The escape for that is to establish in the self, which we have discussed in that Hamsa Gita. Then Samadrak, Mayaveshyamana, Samyak. Samyak means what has happened to the Bhikshu. Bhikshu's situation was such that Bhikshu, due to his prarabdham, whatever has happened in his life, lost all his wealth, vairagyam developed. That vairagyam became so strong in him that his attachment to Krishna was also very firm. Is it not? That's what you find in Bhikshu's life. Did you notice that? Bhikshu had such a faith in Krishna at that moment when everything was gone, that is state is called Samyak. Samyak means, what does Bhikshu say? Nayam janome sugaduka hedu na devadalma griha karma kalam manaparam karanamamanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. That he has such a clear realization inside that only Krishna is the truth. Edam samastaya paralpanishtam, the last verse. Adhyasidam purvatare maharshivi, I will follow them. To that extent he was firm in his decision. That is Samyak. And now, finally with this Jnana Yogam, Krishna says Samadrik. With equal vision, pass through this world. Don't think one is better, one is good, one is bad, one is higher, one is lower. Everywhere what is present here is only Atma, nothing else. Get that realization, that is Jnana Yogam. So, whatever in the seventh chapter Krishna started with, Krishna concludes here in this chapter. That's all Krishna had to say to Uddhava. Now what is it? Last thing, Vijarasvagam. With this knowledge inside, go through this world. Don't get attached anywhere. That's the reason when Vidura met Uddhava in Vrindavanam on his return from the from the pilgrimage. They meet up each other in Vrindavanam, isn't it? At that time, Vidura says to Uddhava, Uddhava, tell me everything what Krishna has given you, all the instructions, let me hear from you. Uddhava was in a very excited stage after receiving this knowledge from Krishna. So Uddhava says to Vidura, Vidura, I like to very much like to give it to you, but I just don't have the time. I have been told, Krishna has instructed me to go to Badrinath and stay there and reflect on all these things what he has instructed me. Therefore, I haven't got time. But I heard when I was leaving Krishna, Maitreya Maharshi was present there. I heard Krishna saying to Maitreya Maharshi that I had another follower like Uddhava, whose name is Vidura, and he is going away wandering around somewhere in the name of pilgrimage. I wanted to talk to him before I leave this world. He will come to you one day and you should instruct him the same knowledge what I have now had given to Uddhava. Because Maitreya Maharshi was also there listening to that. So Uddhava used that and mentioned that to who? Uddhava mentioned that to Vidura. That Krishna has instructed Maitreya Maharshi to instruct you personally and you should go and see him in Haridwar. So both of them, saying this, Uddhava left. And when Uddhava was leaving, Vidura says to him, can I follow you till Haridwar? Because you will be passing through Haridwar on way to Badrinath from Vrindavanam. So Uddhava says to Vidura, I have no problem you following me, but you may not get me. You may not be able to follow me. Because he was in such an ecstatic state after hearing this chapter and the whole instructions. He was in such an ecstatic mood, Krishna's lotus feet on his head, kept in a cloth covered and holding on to his... That was the faith of Uddhava, imagine that. Krishna handed over his shoes to Uddhava, is it not? And that is still there in the Badrinath temple, where Uddhava brought them there and deposited with the deities there. So, it which is worshipped even today in the Badrinath temple. So, Uddhava, after receiving Ekadasha Skandam and the shoes on his head, he is on his way to Badrinath. And it didn't take very long, Uddhava disappeared. Vidura could not follow him. Vidura was following him up to Haridwar, he thought he will follow Uddhava. But Uddhava could not wait. Uddhava was moving so fast, Vidura could not reach him. Then, in a few moments, Uddhava disappeared and then Vidura goes and sees Maitreya Maharshi in the Haridwar later on. That is how that incident goes. And that 28th chapter also comes to an end. So, here, something important. The last chapter in Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, the next one, 29. We'll start that. The last chapter. Why this chapter? After all these instructions. Sudhishchar Uddhava vacham Sudhishcharam imam manyem Yogacharyam analpana Yad anjasa puman siddhir Tanne bruhi anjasa chudam Prayasha pundarigaksha Yunjando yogino manaha Vishidandi asamadhanam Mano nigrahakarshidaham. Then Uddhava is saying that Sudhishcha Anye the Anjasa Puman Siddhya Tanme Bruhi Anjasa Achyuta, that addressing Krishna, that this yoga system, Krishna who does not have any distractions, who is eternal, addressing Krishna like that, then he says, this yoga charya, this yoga process, what you have instructed me, it is very difficult for a person who is on the platform of the body. Who is on the platform of the body? Yogacharyam analpana. Analpana means one who is not on the platform of Atma. For him, or if he is not developed well internally, spiritually, and not enough sufficient spiritual knowledge and spiritual maturity, if it has not happened, a person,
such a person, for him it will be very difficult. Uddhava says, it will be very, very difficult for him, because to conduct this knowledge, what Krishna has given in this 28th chapter, will be very difficult for him to manage here. And therefore, this knowledge what you have given to me, Krishna says, how can he practice it in a comfortable way, without too much of difficulty? How can he do that? Because it is a difficult thing, Uddhava says, for an ordinary person. It may be that I am not matured enough, Uddhava says, in my mind. But as far as I am concerned, when I look at the world, most of the people are like that, says Uddhava. I don't see there's not much big difference there, he says. So, how will this become practical for others, this knowledge? That was the question. It's a good question, isn't it? That when you read it, we have now discussed this 28th chapter last 4-5 days, and you have found that there is something in there which is worthwhile having it and practicing it. But I know that enthusiasm won't last very long. Today Sunday, tomorrow Monday, this will all be forgotten, and by next Saturday we will be the same grotty, mourning, groaning. Nature will come back to us. Completely lost everything. This is all gone. Ekadasham gone, 28th chapter gone, everything gone. Back to square one again. That's our situation. And that is why, keeping us in mind, Uddhava is asking this question. People are not serious about spiritual life. You know that they are not. It's not possible also due to antarayam, upasargam, prarabdham, whichever way you want to call it, you can call it. And it is very difficult for them to take this message what Krishna has given in the 28th chapter. So how will it become practical? That is Uddhava's question. And how can he take advantage of this knowledge what you have given here and realize the self? That was his question in that. Sudushcharam imam manye yogacharyam analmana yad anjasa puman siddhiyel tanme bruhi anjasa achyuda. You will notice wherever they want to address Krishna, in situations like this, they'll call him achyuda. Means one who doesn't fall. Krishna is so fixed up, there is no question of falling down. So therefore, they can address always Krishna in situations like this, they will address him as achyuda. You will see this in the Bhagavatam in other places also. He is addressed as achyuda. Arjuna also addresses him as achyuda. In one or two places in the Bhagavad Gita you will see this. So that is the question now in this 29th chapter. Because with this 29th chapter, Uddhava Gita is over. Uddhavadesham is finished. After that, the other two chapters after that is Krishna's preparing to leave the planet and Krishna's departure from this world. It is over with that. So, 29th chapter is addressed, you'll see there that the that is finishes. And then Uddhava leaves in that, in this chapter. Uddhava leaves. So with that, Uddhava Vadesham is over. And in the next chapter, 30th and 31, 30th is the chapter where Krishna is organizing the departure of the problems what happened in Dwaraka due to that curse from the rishis. Durvasava and others cursed them, isn't it? To beat up each other and kill everybody. All the Yadavas, they got drunk, they beat up each other and they all died and gone. And then, so basically preparing for departure, this next chapter. And after the last chapter, Krishna is departing from the world. So those two chapters, there is no instructions as such. Uddhava Gita finishes with this chapter. And in this chapter also, after Krishna has spoken, then Uddhava is ready to go. Uddhava is ready to leave. That is this chapter. We say here,
prayascha pundari igaksham yunjando yogino manaha vishidandi asamadhanam manonigraha karshitaha manonigraha karshitaha.
So with this yoga process, which one, this jnana yogam, what Krishna has spoken, we are trying to wipe out the mind, is it not? Because mind is the problem we have seen all the way through. And everyone who is trying to do that, their experience is also not very good. When they try to get rid of the mind, it comes in different form of distress to them. Because they don't feel peaceful when they go in the spiritual life. They are not feeling peaceful because the mind is working all the time. And they are thinking what to do. That's what he is saying here. Prayasha pundarigacha yunjando yogino manaha vishidandi asamadhanam mano nigraha karshitaha. In spite of practicing all this yoga system, jnana yogam, ashtanga yogam, various kinds of yoga systems, whatever that was there at that time, even after practicing all that, they are not peaceful still. Mind is still working. Mind is not going. Mind is still coming back. And mind comes back means it causes its own problems, isn't it? Vishidandi asamadhanam mano nigraha karshitaha. Mano nigraha karshitaha. They are unable to do anything about this mind. It pops up again with some other plans later. How difficult it is, he is saying there. And prayasha pundarigacha yunjando yogino manaha. Yogis are finding it very, very hard. So, what Krishna is saying there is that, Uddhava is saying there is, they are all failing at the end. They all fail at the end, even though they tried this process. And they all end up with different distress at the end. Everybody feels failure, but it becomes a distress for them at the end. And mainly because they don't feel any shanti inside, peace inside, or samadhanam inside. And then they are asking, what should I do now? After failing, whole life practicing yoga process and then saying, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not feeling any success. This will happen to everybody one day. After, you'll do a lot of things in this world, what somebody told you to do and somebody else told you not to do and all, followed so many people, and finally one day you will realize that I've done all my life, I've done everything what I've been told. Where am I now? The stage will come. And that's what he is saying here also. And he's finding nowhere. So he says that, so that means at the old age, he says they'll come back with a lot of complaints that this is not working. Nothing is fitting. I'm not getting any benefit from that. So this is the example and this is the experience of many, many people. At that time, even a small obstacle will people find difficult to tolerate. Even a small obstacle, if it comes on the way, they find it very difficult to tolerate that. And ordinary people, he's saying, ordinary people does not require a big problem to come out of spiritual life. For ordinary people, a small problem is sufficient to fall away from spiritual path. A small problem is sufficient in life to move away from spiritual life. They don't require a big problem. You know what I'm saying. That some simple thing at home has happened. Today what Bhagavatam will, I got this thing to do. Let me attend to this. This is more important. Something will, little things is sufficient for them to give up spiritual life. So, always, they are people who are coming to spiritual life. They want always, nothing should happen in life which is opposing them. Life, opposing, pratigula. Unfavorable things should not happen in life. They are very particular. Only then they can stay in the spiritual path. If unfavorable things comes, they fall. From spiritual path, they fall. Everything should come favorably in life. Then they will engage in spiritual activity.
and unfavorable things should not happen. And this is that everybody's opinion is like that, and that is what they desire also. Everybody desires that, and everybody's opinion is also like that. And it is only for that purpose everyone is endeavoring in this world. But what we see in the world is, obstacles are not going away, they are still coming. And sometimes they increase, the obstacles become very severe obstacles. That's what we find in this world. That's what he is saying. Prayasha Pundarikaksha, Uddhava is presenting our case to Krishna. Because this is the last chapter. Prayasha Pundarikaksha, Yunjando Yogino Mana, Vishidandi Asamadhanam, Mano Nigraha Karshitaha. Little problem is sufficient to pull people down from spiritual life. And generally people want everything to happen in a favorable way. Suppose all things are very favorable, job is going well, you got a nice house, nice family environment, family's life is very all as you expected and wanted is happening, house is all in order, all social life is fine, family members, relatives, everybody is very well. When everything is very well, you say that, oh, I can practice spiritual life. If in this process, if anything gets disturbed, then you say it's not possible, spiritual life is not possible. It's talking about ordinary people, Uddhava is saying there. So, what to do? That is Uddhava's question to Krishna. Krishna smiled when he said that. He says, Adha Adha Ananda Dukham Padam Bhujam Hamsashrayaram Ravindalochana Sukham Navishweshwara Yoga Karma Bilstun Mayami Vihadat Namanina. You know why I say Krishna smiled? It's not said that Krishna has smiled. You see that word in the eighth verse. Shri Bhagavan Vaja, you see that word used there, Hanta. Hanta means, you know what Hanta means? Hanta means, sometimes, suppose you have some serious problem, yeah? You met a friend of yours, and you have told all your problems to him, what's going on in your life, thinking that he will show some compassion, or he will share your grief with you. With some intention, you have spoken everything to him. And that person, when you were saying everything, he was not listening. He was thinking about his problems. That's how in this world, have you noticed that? When two people meet up each other, one person is telling all his problems to the other person. At that point, time, what the other person is doing, he is preparing what he has to say after this person has finished. So that's why you will notice, as soon as he finishes, he will start with his problems in life. They are not talking, he is not going to share his problem and this person is not going to share the other person's problem either. It's not going to happen. That's not possible also. But with the hope that the other person is all peaceful, ready to receive my misery, and you are sharing this with him. When you are trying to share this with him, that person is preparing his speech after this to start. So as soon as he starts, the other one will start with his problems. So, when you have spoken everything to the other person with the hope that he will share this with you, and if that person comes back with an answer like this, Krishna could only do one thing, Hanta, I wasted my time. That's that word Hanta means. Hanta te kathayeshyami. Krishna is saying, what was I doing all this time? These 28 chapters I've spoken to Uddhava. And he is asking this question even at this point in time. It is with that Krishna is saying that word Hanta. Hanta means that. That is when you will use that word Hanta. Hanta means that nothing has done, any job, work. It hasn't done anything. It hasn't given any result from Uddhava has not benefited that feeling. I wasted my time. You know, when you feel like that, so when this person is feeling that I wasted my time, then you will say Hanta. That's what that is. And Krishna said that with a smile, that's all. Because he is saying that when you ask a question like this, Krishna was speaking from the highest platform, that Jnana Yoga, what was spoken. So, and the person who is receiving was not in that state. Only when the speaker and the listener are in the same state, transmission will happen. Otherwise it won't happen. So therefore, when Krishna spoke this, Uddhava was preparing his speech to deliver after Krishna's speech. So as soon as he heard that, he says this. So therefore he says, now Krishna is Uddhava is looking at Krishna's form and says to him, O lotus-eyed one, Aravinda Lochana, he says, Hamsa Ashraye Aravinda Lochana, Adhada Ananda Dukham Padambujam, Hamsa Ashraye Aravinda Lochana, Sukham Vishveshwara Yoga Karma Bhi Tvan Mayayami Vihadanamaninam. So, glorifying Krishna's eyes, lotus eyes. Eyes are like lotus flower, he says, is open, beautiful eyes. And your lotus feet, one who has taken complete shelter of that, and one who has reached that state of realization where he could come and merge at your lotus feet, or one who has come to that hamsa state. Hamsam, like a swan, who has come to that state. And that means one who has developed sufficient maturity and sufficient jnana-nishtha, established in the knowledge, sufficient strength of spirituality, alpa-viryam, all those three things. Alpa-nishtha, jnana-nishtha, and full maturity inside. Only a yogi who has reached that stage, he may be able to do all these things what you have said. That's how Uddhava puts it. A person who has developed sufficient spiritual maturity inside, who has come to the state of established in the truth, jnana-nishtha, who has got nishtha. Nishtha means one who is steady in his spiritual understanding, and who has got alpa-viryam. Alpa-viryam means who has got spiritual power inside, who has got that vasayalpiya-buddhi strongly inside. For him, it may be possible to do all these things what you have mentioned here. And he may be able to experience this sukhanubhuti and tatvanubhuti, or experience of that realization of these things. It may be possible for him. But everybody is not in that state. Uddhava says to Krishna, everybody is not in that state. And particularly for those who have a ahankaram inside, mani. Vihata na manina. Manina means where ahankaram is strong. Those who have got strong ahankaram inside, it may not be possible. And and paramahamsas are not manis, isn't it? They have no ahankaram inside. But those who have taken your shelter, there. But it is possible for those who are completely surrendered to you. Completely surrendered to you. And because they have taken your shelter to that extent, they have taken your shelter, that they will be able to realize all these things what you have said. That is how Uddhava puts it to him. And on the other hand, the mudha, those who do not have that surrender and who do not have that understanding, they will get into problems. They will get into problems. This is what Uddhava said to Krishna. Those who are God, those who are mudha, or who don't have that surrender, who don't have that understanding, they will get into problems. But those who have completely taken your shelter and surrendered to you, and totally depending on your strength, executing their spiritual life, they will make it happen. So, adhadam ananda dukham padambujam, hamsa ashraye aravinda lochanam, sukhamna visheshara yoga karmabil, stvan mayayami vihata namaninam. So, then Uddhava says to Krishna, kim chitram achyuda tavaidad ashesha bandho, daseshu ananya sharaneshu yad alpa sattvam, yo arojayal sahamrgai soyam ishwaranam, Shrimal Kirida Tadapidida Padapidaha Kim Chitramachuda Taveda Dashesha Bandho Daseshu Ananya Sharaneshu Yadalma Satvam
யோ அரோஜயேன் சக மிருகை ஸ்வயம் ஈஸ்வரானாம் ஸ்ரீமல் கிரீட தடபீடித பாதபீடாஹ.
அர்ஜுன கிருஷ்ண சாரி உத்தவ சேஸ் டு கிருஷ்ணா தட் ஹவு கைண்ட் அண்ட் கம்பேஷனேட் யூ ஆர் க்ளோரிஃபைங் ஹிம் தட் பட் டு நோ கிருஷ்ணாஸ் கம்பேஷன் அண்ட் கிரேஸ் அண்ட் கைண்ட்னஸ் அண்ட் டு டேக் கிருஷ்ணா ஷெல்டர் தட் ரிக்வயர்ட் சம் எஃபர்ட். Only when you know how compassionate and merciful Krishna is, you can take Krishna's shelter. But when you don't know how compassionate Krishna is, how would you take Krishna's shelter? So, only a few people have succeeded in this world in doing that. Uddhava is referring to the devotees, those who have taken Krishna's shelter. He says, very few in these people have known you well, who have known you very well, and who know your kindness and grace, compassionate nature, merciful nature, and who have taken your complete surrender to you and taken your shelter. That's only very few. That's only very few people have succeeded in that. And everybody knows that if you are able to take Krishna's shelter, no matter who it is, you are willing to give them anything what they want. You are willing to offer them anything what they require. Uddhava is talking about Krishna's compassion, Krishna's kindness. That if you are willing to surrender to Him by knowing Krishna's glories and Krishna's position, in order to surrender to Krishna, you have to know Krishna's position first, is it not? Just saying that, oh, He's a Supreme Personality of Godhead is not enough. You have to know who Krishna is. And very few people have known that properly, Krishna's position, and taken Krishna's shelter in this world. Only few people could do that, not everybody. And to those who have taken Krishna's shelter in that way, Krishna has shown enough compassion for them and given them everything what they need in their spiritual life. In their spiritual life, and you are always ready for that. And there are many, many examples for that, Uddhava says, including starting from Brahma. Is it not? If you read Brahma Sutra in the Deshanaskandam in the 10th canto, you will see Brahma is begging to Krishna, begging to Krishna to accept him as a devotee. You will see that in the 14th chapter. Brahmastuti is that. Brahma coming and begging to Krishna to accept him as a devotee. So, you will see Srimad Kirida Tadapidida Padapidaham. Brahma comes with four heads and four, what do they call, crowns. And with the four crowns touching Krishna's lotus feet and begging to Krishna, accept me as a... He mentions, if you look in the 10th canto, what some other famous statements from Brahma in the 10-14th chapter. He says there that Brahma Stuti is famous. That runs into many, many verses. First, something like 30-40 verses, is it not? It's all Brahma Stuti. There, some verses which are very famous. One, ஜானந்தமேவ ஜானந்து கிம் பஹூக்த்யா மமே பிரபோ மனசோ வபுஷோ வாசோ வைபவம் தவ கோச்சரம். ஜானந்தமேவ ஜானந்து, ஃபைனலி பிரம்ம சேஸ் டு கிருஷ்ணா, ஜானந்தமேவ ஜானந்து, தோஸ் ஹூ நோஸ் அபவுட் யூ, லெட் தம் டேக் அட்வான்டேஜ் ஆஃப் யூ. கிம் பஹூக்த்யா மமே பிரபோ, இன் அதர் வேர்ட்ஸ் இஸ் சேயிங், பீப்புள் டோன்ட் நோ யூ, தட் இஸ் வை த ப்ராப்ளம் இஸ். பீப்புள் டோன்ட் நோ ஹூ யூ ஆர். About Krishna is saying, Brahma is saying, people don't know who you are, that's a problem. Janandam eva janandu. Those who know you, let them have the benefit. Kim bahuk, the kim bahuk tyaname prabho. What is there to say too much about it? There's nothing much to say. Manaso vabusho vajo vaibhavam tava gojara. That it cannot be spoken actually about Krishna's glory. It can't even be spoken. Krishna is so big. Manaso vabusho vacho. By the mind, by the words, nothing is sufficient to glorify Krishna. Manaso vabusho vacho. Vaibhavam tava gochara. Krishna's glories cannot be even spoken with our mind and our words. Cannot even glorify Krishna. Because if you try to glorify Krishna, even our mind and words cannot comprehend that. Even beyond our comprehension. That's how, that is how you are. And another place he says that
You'll see few verses. 29.
Adhavide devapada ambujadvayam prasadalesha, in the same chapter. 10:14. 10:14:29. Adhavide devapada ambujadvayam prasadalesha anugrahitam evahi yenaha janadikatvam bhagavan mahimno na janyam ego vichiram vichinvan tadastumena dasabhuri bhago bhavetravanyatraduva tirascham yenahameko bi bhavajananam bhutva nisheve tavapada pallavam ahoditanyam rajagoramanyam stanyamrtam pidamadivate mudaha yasam vibho valsadar almaja almanam yatraptaye dhyabinajalam advaram.
Where our Brahma is saying that at least accept me as a blade of grass in Vrindavanam, let me come and take birth here in Vrindavanam, so that I will be trampled by your lotus feet and I can get that shelter in that way. My ego will go. Ego will disappear in that way. So, tomalmanam paramatva paramalmanam evacha alba punar bahir mrigyam aho atya janada atyadam. Lot of all this Brahmastuti, Brahma's glorifications is all ends up like that. So it is the same thing here also. Shrimal kirida tadapidida padapida. That you will come and with all the Brahma, with all his four heads and with the four crowns, he is paying his respects to Krishna. And where does he does that? At this Krishna's lotus feet, isn't it? And similarly, he says here, Yo Aravajayan Sahamargay Swayam Ishwaranam. Even when Krishna came as Ramachandra, Krishna gave shelter even to the Vanaras, isn't it? Even to the monkeys. Even they, when they took Krishna shelter as Ramachandra, they were protected by Krishna. And in the appearance as Ramachandra. So in that appearance, as Ramachandra's appearance, Krishna did not invite these persons who came for in the Krishnavatara. In Krishna's appearance, other personalities were invited. But in the Ramachandra's appearance, Krishna invited and Krishna told them to all of them to come in the form of monkeys. Vanaras, they came and did the service. And even to them, Krishna has shown his causeless mercy, even to them. What does that mean? It means that Krishna is not particular that you have to be in the human body. You have to be in a particular body. Any body is okay. Krishna can show the compassion, the grace. He has shown to elephant, isn't it? Gajendra. He has shown the compassion. He has shown the compassion to Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Shishubala and Dandavatra, and Kunti Devi, Draupadi. Different personalities. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see all kinds of people received Krishna's mercy. Birds, bees, animals, and women, men, demons, devotees, butchers, all kinds of people, they have received Krishna's mercy. So, answer is that whatever you may be, in whichever body you may be, if you take Krishna's shelter, Krishna will protect. That is the principle. That is what Uddhava is saying there. That no matter in what body you are present in this world, and if you are ready to take shelter, ashrayam, that is the thing, ashrayam, ready to take shelter, there is no other proof required. Only thing is, you have to look at the pastimes. Look at Krishna's pastimes. If you look at Krishna's pastimes, you will see that no matter what body you are in, Bhagavatam is proof of that. Vritrasura, Krishna has shown mercy. Asura. Sometimes when you read Bhagavatam, you will see more demons have got more mercy than the demigods. Is it not? Vritrasura, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Shishubala, Dandavatra, endless list in the Bhagavatam. They, Pudana, and all the other asuras who came to Gokulam, they were all sent back to the spiritual world. Whereas Indra is still there. He hasn't gone back yet. So the point is, Uddhava is saying here, that it does not matter in which body you are in this world. Man body, woman body, bird's body,
In all bodies, you have shown your capacity to give that mercy. But only thing is, you have to take shelter. You have to take Krishna shelter. If you take shelter and surrender, then Krishna will offer that mercy sometime. So we'll stop today here. And we'll continue from Saturday, the 29th chapter. So by Krishna's grace and Prabhupada's grace, these last 9 days, we had a little bit of time to talk through Srimad Bhagavatam's one of the most important chapter, this 28th chapter. We started discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, this 11th canto, in the year 2007. It's now 7 years we have spoken Bhagavatam in this particular canto, 11th canto. And hopefully we will now finish in another 2 or 3 classes, 11th canto, and continue through the 12th canto. So, Bhagavatam is never ends. Bhagavatam will never end. That is the way Bhagavatam is. People who are reading Srimad Bhagavatam many, many times, hundreds and thousands of times in life, they will find more coming from the Bhagavatam. That depends on your upasana towards Bhagavatam, how much you devote to Bhagavatam. But Bhagavatam will never come to an end. Bhagavatam is endless. Like Krishna is unlimited, Bhagavatam is also unlimited. That you have to always remember that. Krishna is unlimited, eternal, isn't it? Similarly, Bhagavatam is also eternal. That is why you will see in many places, Adishesha is glorifying Krishna with his thousands of hoods, thousands of mouths for so many millions of years, and still it's not over. Srimad Bhagavatam is read by Lord Shiva. He recites to Sri Parvati, Srimad Bhagavatam. In Vaikuntha, Mahavishnu speaks about Srimad Bhagavatam to Lakshmi Devi. So, in so many places, and in the heavenly planets, Brihaspati discusses Bhagavatam, and that you have mentioned in the 3rd canto. You will see there, it comes through the Sanal Kumara Maharshi, Sankhyayana Maharshi, another parambara of Srimad Bhagavatam. This what we have in this earthly planet is that one which comes through Shukha Brahmarshi Parikshit, spoken by Sudha Goswami to Shavanagarishi on and onwards, like this. So this way Bhagavatam is relished by devotees all the time. And so therefore, it is endless, it is unlimited. And this 11th canto particularly is the canto which is related to Mukti. Mukti Skandam it is called. So it's worthwhile keeping in the heart all those things. And we'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.